It's the summer of games, or DLC. You're gonna get hyped up, and the news won't live up to your expectations.
Welcome, DLC listeners. It's a very special episode of the DLC podcast. It's the summer of games, as you heard. I'm Jeff Cannata. I'm here with Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
Hello, of games. And we're, if you know, whether you want it or not, we're in it. Like, this is it. You're in it. I'm in it. We're in it. We've all been through it, and it's not over yet. We're in the midst of it, dare I say.
Well, lucky for you and I, we're in it with the third leg of our stool. It's the most flattering description of all time. Our favorite person, you know her from the paid DLC program if you're a patron of our show every Wednesday. You also know she's a developer at Riot, one of our favorite people, Lana Bashinsky, joining us. Hello, Lana.
Hello. And there's nothing that makes me feel more special than being compared to stool of any variety.
Well, just, you're not the whole stool. You're just a stool sample.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like when you think you're done and you go for the teepee and then you're like, oh, there's more. You know, it's that.
Well, you know, maybe I should have just done the normal show intro that I do, but we don't have time. We don't have time. It's a very special episode. Usually in years past, this time of year, the show would start with a chugga, 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 choo, choo. And that E3 hype train would come a rolling in. But you know what? That train went off a cliff. There's no E3. There's no hype train. We are in the summer of games, and we are recording here on June 9th, the evening of June 9th, Sunday night, sort of straddling a lot of the events. There's still more coming tomorrow. We are going to record another episode tomorrow. Our friend Anthony Taormina will join us if everything goes well to discuss Ubisoft and his hands-on. He's there in Los Angeles getting hands-on with stuff. There's more to discuss then. But we're going to try to barrel through as much as we possibly can tonight because this is the time of year. Things get special. This is not a normal episode of the DLC podcast. This is our coverage of the craziness of Summer Games Fest. So we had Jeff Keighley's event, the Summer Games Fest Live.
Oh, yeah! That's what we got!
Oh, our hype man is here. Christian Spicer, the hype man. Newly appointed hype man.
That's just a little treat for Wednesday listeners. That's all that was.
a veritable bidet stream of energy coming from that guy.
That's right. Shooting you into places you weren't aware of. We're starting off well this week. I think we're all
right,
delirious.
It's Sunday. It's not Wednesday. It's Sunday. Okay. Sorry.
It's right. Not Wednesday. It's Sunday. That's why we got to be serious, Lana. Serious. One thing we can agree on. There are. This is the too many games year. I mean, I guess all E3 / Summer Games Fest years are that. But okay. So I mentioned we had the Summer Games Fest Live with Jeff Keighley. Holding it down, telling us about a whole bunch of things. We're going to get to that. We had Day of the Devs immediately followed by the Devolver Digital, which I don't know what that was exactly, but it happened.
Is that just a clip that you play every year of you saying that?
Yes. I mean, it's true. It's consistent. I love Devolver, but they are, I love that they keep it weird.
They're on brand.
That was Friday. We have since had the Future Games show, which was chock full of, I don't know, 36 games in that one. Then today we had the Xbox showcase, jam-packed with announcements and world premieres. Then the PC game show, another 2.5 hours of games. And I feel like I'm missing one. Is there not something else? It's a lot is what I'm trying to say. And we're going to try to get through as much as we possibly can. There are too many games. I don't know. I don't even know how I'm going to keep all of this straight in my head. We have a list of everything that was mentioned over the last 3 days. And it is quite long. And usually,
can I just say, at times like this, I'm going to say one game. Spoiler for a game we're talking about perhaps later. It's times like this that I am very grateful for games that have names like Harry Potter Quidditch Champions.
Yeah.
Because I know what that game is.
Yes.
When I'm looking through this list, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I remember that that game was. That yeah. was that Harry Potter Quidditch game.
Yeah.
That refreshed that, my memory.
That and Building Relationships are my two favorite titles because I remember what Building Relationships is about.
It's like there are all, a lot of great games, but sometimes it's like, you know, even just from yesterday, I'm going through and watching some of this stuff and like looking at it again. I'm like, yeah, what were some of my big, my most favorites? And it's like, was it no, Kalarmer? No, yeah. What was that? And it's just like
we complain every year that there are too many sequels, too many franchises. But you know what? At least I know what those are. I can remember.
Are you saying there's too many names.
Too many names. That's right. Anyway, as I was saying, in years past, the way we would handle this mammoth task of trying to get through all of the E3/Summer Games Fest announcements is we'd go step by step chronologically. We'd start where we all started and we'd move through. This year, I'm not doing that. No, sir. I'm not doing it. I'm going to jump. I think we should all just jump right into the Xbox showcase, because that honestly is where I want to spend my the most time.
Nope, I'm doing it the other way still.
Well, here's what something I'd love to hear about before we dive into maybe anything in particular, and maybe this is obnoxious of me. Overall impressions, because I had like you know, they're all different games being presented in different spaces, and it's somewhat up to the individual studios that are presenting these things to sort of offer it up. But like overall show presence, was there one that like struck you the most? Any vibes on Summer Games Fest in general? I was like, there's a little bit of a weird vibe here, but I can't tell if that was just, is it always like that? I'm getting conflating with the Game Awards, which is a bit bigger feeling, or there was like, it was an interesting weekend, I felt like.
Very interesting weekend, that's for sure. And you know, with the death, the full-on bury it dead, it's not coming back death of E3, it felt like there might be a dip in the intensity of this weekend. Like, oh, you know, Sony did theirs in May. You know, it's not even in June.
Yeah.
We don't even have a Sony presence this weekend. It just felt like maybe it was going to be less than.
Nintendo's hasn't happened yet. There's
That's
rumored
right.
to Who, be one, but it has not occurred.
We don't have a date for that yet. So it there was the potential of it feeling very underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, did not feel, I felt, if anything, this was more intense. Like there were, it was more of a fire hose of games than it ever has been. And I think the reason for that, for me personally, and I'm a little old school, I've been doing this, you know, decades. So I perhaps am stuck in an old paradigm, which I will freely admit, and that may be on me. But I think that it was clearer for me in years past in the old E3 model, when you kind of went from publisher to publisher, and that publisher was telling about their games, and their games were in their little, you know, silo, and you got what that publisher was working on, and then the next publisher was working on, the next publisher was working on, and there was some third-party overlap in the major hardware manufacturers' showcases. But for the most part, you could compartmentalize, and I think it made more sense. Now, that's all gone. I mean, there's Xbox is there, still doing their thing, but these other things, it really just feels like this grab bag of games, which is great. I mean, there's tons of awesome stuff. I was overwhelmed by the number of things that I want to play and that I'm not going to have time for. I mean, there's so much coming this year. I thought 2024 was kind of going to be a down lull year because of so many factors. I don't think that's the case anymore. I really feel like there's going to be tons of stuff to play through the latter half of 2024. Got a lot of cool stuff for 2025 to talk about. And I do think Xbox in particular had their strongest showing in many years, in my opinion. I thought Xbox's showcase was incredibly good, solid, jam-packed with really exciting stuff. And I think one of their strongest showings, as I said, in a number of years. So that in and of itself elevated it. And it's part of the reason I want to leap to them first, because that's where I want to spend the bulk of our time rather than stepping through the Summer Games Fest live, Keeley's thing first, which I found to be much less exciting, a slower tempo. I mean, he's doing something completely different, which isn't, you know, showing off what's going to be on one console or one publisher. He's sort of trying to do a show, and he's really, you know, the brand that he's supporting is himself. You know, we love Jeff. He's a friend of the show, but it's mired in sort of needing to have this stage presence and his hosting, and Xbox can just be like, here's banger after banger after banger. We're not going to interrupt it with people. The pace can be set. Anyway, that's how I feel. I thought it was a really high caliber year for the breadth and number, the number and the quality of what I was seeing, the number of games I want to play, the general quality level of everything across the board, it seems, even in the, you know, with the context of a really harrowing year for developers and the people that make games, we have to acknowledge that as well. But also a much more chaotic sort of whirlwind of things that felt less like it less made sense to me as a person trying to maneuver through. As we joked at the beginning, there's like so many things that I'm going to have to cross-reference and be like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that thing. It was cool. What was that called? And I don't remember that being so much the case in previous years. What did you guys think?
Lana, your question.
Christian, yeah.
No, your question. I want your answer.
I very much sympathize with Jeff in, I think Xbox's showcase was absolutely stellar. I really thought it was a great showing, very exciting, felt like nonstop bangers, and I'm really excited for them, excited to see that. I thought that Day of the Devs, I know they always kind of have that sweet tone, but I sort of love the personal feeling of that presentation. It yeah. feels like a different flavor, but like great indie future hits that seem really exciting. And I love the individuals that they choose to announce them seem to have some kind of like, oh, I really wanted to announce this one, like an individual excitement for them, which I love that presentation connection. Summer Games Fest itself, the Friday Keeley show, I felt like as a surprising energy was sort of at odds with itself. Keeley's, and I was really trying to check myself of like, is this what Summer Games Fest has always been like? Or am I just like, am I confusing sort of the excitement and the momentum that that show has with the Game Awards? Because it felt strange to have this event in the YouTube theater at half capacity. And then it felt strange that there weren't sort of big hits, but that I sort of make sense of why they wouldn't want to be in that show. Because why would they? I don't know if they pay Jeff or if Jeff pays them to be in the show. I imagine it's the former, but like that's just for Jeff. And it had like a sort of stuntedness to it, where I feel like if it's for press that are then going to go get their hands on with it, why not just let it be a smaller event? Versus trying to make it have fanfare that it doesn't yet have yet. It just felt at odds with itself, which was like a funny kickoff to this weekend. So overall, I mean, it is overwhelming number of things I'm very excited about. I think a lot of great developers. I very personally, so many good friends of mine finally got to show off what they've been working on. And so I'm really excited for them, especially today. Oh my gosh, so many great ones that I can't wait to talk about. But a funny sort of, you know, highs and lows, felt like roller coastery of a weekend so far. Xbox really knocked it out of the park though. So feeling like I coming in on a high.
What about you, Christian?
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything but you both said. I feel like Summer Game Fest live, it needs to find a better way. I don't think it's found it yet. I think it's meant to be a celebration of games, which is awesome, which is something that we do on this show. Yes, we critique games, certainly games we don't like, but we also are a pretty positive show, and we're here to celebrate this hobby and this industry we love. And I think that's Keeley's MO as well. but it just felt really weird to go from Lego Horizon straight into a game where a zombie is ripping out the intestines of a human being, and a word I won't say on this show is said. And it's like, games are for everyone, like this MF. And it's like, wait, what? What happened?
Well, like, Keely did say, and now for something completely different.
I know, yeah. But guess, but who organized that? Yeah. Like, is that 180 good for the show? That's like, right. here's your appetizer, and welcome to my prefix menu that I made, the chef. Here's your appetizer, and now for a complete 180, here's, you know, something, here's garbage. Not saying,
and then 180 again, like, back into Harry Potter. I'm like, you could have even just had two at a time that were like lighthearted at all ages. Just put like all of the most goriest, most sweariest ones in like a chunk. And like put a timer.
Well, but then they all feel samey. You know, I don't.
They still do.
I don't think it's an easy problem to solve. And I think Microsoft as well, like if you're watching this, like when my kids were watching with me, it's like, and you're not really wrapped in it, it's kind of like, well, what is this? Why is this? Like, there's no story. And I think that if this is the normal, I think all of these folks will, it will behoove them to find a story. Mm. And the story can't just be like, we kick butt. Here's how much butt we kick. Everybody go buy an Xbox. I think there needs to be something compelling about it. And I think that has existed some during E3. And I think it existed, honestly, before it became a really big spectacle. And it was going through some of the boring slides, because that was a company telling their story of where they've been, what they've done, what some of their hits were, where they're transitioning as a company. And it also wasn't meant to be a summer movie blockbuster, right? Like, it was for a directed audience and it had a story. And now I feel like a lot of these presentations don't have one. The story is just like, fire hose. And I think because of that, it makes it hard to remember what's what or where it was. And I think some of it too, for Xbox particularly, you know, they were jumping around. It wasn't like, these four games are going to come out in the next 4 months, and these are farther off. It was like, you had to wait to see if there was a date at the end of it, what something meant. You know, it's like they show you gameplay and then tell you the name of the game. So you're like, oh, is this going to be that? Is this Halo? Is this a new Halo? Is this? No, it's a mobile game. You know, I'm making that up, but like, I don't think they found their rhythm, and I don't think any of these have really found their rhythm yet. PC games honestly seems the best, because it was so awful when it started.
Well, that's kind of their brand, you know? Love Day 9. Like, yes. the guy's great. Wears his heart on his sleeve. Love that dude. But you know, it's been 10 years of just goofballery over there. And, you know, it's not going to change now, you know, So
I think there's maybe something to be learned from old TV show upfronts, network upfronts, where those did tell a story and they were still bombastic. And I think now it's just pure bombastic.
I think that's interesting. But I do think that's also speaking from an old paradigm, because I think what Xbox has come to, and honestly, Sony as well, is something that I think is much more appreciated by the chattering class, of which I would count us. In general, the folks that comment on these kind of things just want the fire hose of awesome. Just give me more awesome. I don't want you to interrupt the flow by having somebody, some suits, walk on stage and tell me about the new features and streaming services you're going to support. You know, all of that stuff traditionally has been trimmed out of these things, because those are the things that don't get the positive reaction from the watch alongs, you know? And I can't fault them for that. I think the Xbox showcase was about as good as you can do. And I think for the number of years it's been that way, and not just for Xbox, for Sony as well. It's been basically just trailer after trailer after trailer with almost zero interruption. And I think that's just how it's going to be. Hmm. The thing that I have the most problem with, honestly, of the whole thing, is that in Summer Games Fest, and to be frank, in the PC game show as well, and in future game show as well, it's impossible for me, well, not impossible, but difficult. It's challenging for me to know when we are in the show and when we are in a commercial break. Mm-hmm. There is no distinction because the commercials...
Which reminds me, we should take a break for a sponsor as we talk about the Xbox Showcase. The Xbox Showcase was...
I mean, we will be taking a break for a sponsor very soon. But I say, and we'll now let you know. We're going to take a break for a sponsor when we do that. No one... Jeff Keighley never said that, you know? I think that's a real problem. Now, granted, the emails... I can already tell what they're going to say is the whole show is a commercial. So what does it matter? Well, it does matter because there's the commercials and then there's the commercials. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you've watched any of these shows, you understand there is a distinction between the thing that got selected to be part of the show and the thing that paid money to be the thing where Jeff is backstage checking Twitter to see how well the show is doing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I came to these conferences to learn about the Samsung Gaming Hub, and I'll be danged if that's not why you two were there.
Fair enough. I do think that it would behoove these shows, if they cared about their viewers, which, you know, it is certainly understandable if the first concern is not the viewer, the first concern is the people that are making these shows possible. You know, there's that old chestnut about television content that says, you know, the commercial is the content. Everything else is filler to get you between them, you know, get you to the next one. And I think, you know, there's certainly a case to be made for that. But I do think if the concern was for the viewer, it would be really nice to have some distinction to say, okay, we'll be right back after these messages or something along those lines, where we're taking a stop. We're stopping the show that we've put together, and we are now giving you ads that are paid for that have nothing to do with the show that we were making. But that doesn't happen. And I think that that's a problem. At least for me, it is.
I think it did say, I think I noticed this. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm thinking of just YouTube in general. I think it did have a little thing that just said ad in the top corner, and that's it.
I think that might be a YouTube ad, like a YouTube own inserted ad. Ads on ads. I didn't see that on when I was watching these, but yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we got a lot of games to get to, but I do think, you know, I think you were right to sort of start there on the macro, on the 10,000 foot view. Because I do think, I will say this, setting aside the productions of these as events and the critiques that I have of these as events or praise, for, as the case may be, as events, I will say the games themselves, I was struck by where we have arrived as an industry, as a hobby. You know, this is something I've said before, and I think it has never been more the case that art direction is king. The breadth, the
Blizz, Microsoft is king now. Actually, they bought them.
Oh my god.
All right. Art direction is Activision Blizzard.
I know that in general we have like a long way to go as an industry still,
yeah.
But the number of games at these big bombastic press conferences that had unique and interesting art direction,
yes,
that had diverse representation of characters is the greatest. It is the most I've seen in my memory, period.
Agreed. 100%. The feeling I came away with is video games can look like anything now. And the just pure imagination on the screen, anytime you want to get a little bit I won't speak in the second person. Anytime I want to get a little bit discouraged when I see, you know, oh man, it's another Souls-like that's dark and gray and has a bunch of demons. Oh, it's another hero shooter. Oh, it's another this, another that, another first. Those were on display. There was plenty of those types of games as well. And many of them looked excellent. But none of those are ruts. Because there was so many other things that just looked like nothing I'd ever played before or had a visual style that just felt so fresh and imaginative. So from that perspective, I've never felt more encouraged by the kinds of art that we are getting, not just art direction, but video games as art. I felt like was really on display here. Mm-hmm. You know, just not to skip ahead, but I'd be hard pressed to find a game I'm more excited about than Mixtape. And that alone, the trailer for Mixtape, which plays like a summer movie trailer and doesn't feel anything like a video game to me, other than it's, you know, animated like a video game. I was like, I felt so heartened because this is something we used to talk about all the time on the Totally Rad Show back, you know, years and years and years ago, about when are we going to get to that point where a video game, there's going to be as much variety in video games as there are in movies. We used to talk about that all the time. The big thing we would say was, when are we going to get the diving bell and the butterfly of video games? And I don't know if we have that in you know, particularly, but I think we've gotten to that place where a video game can be anything. It can look like anything. It can give you an experience that's kind of nuanced and as varied. It's not always just going to be at the barrel of a gun. There's a lot of real beautiful variety and excitement from these showcases, I think. All right, that said, let's take a quick break for a sponsor, and we'll come back and we'll dive into the games. You may not be able to tell if this is a sponsor because it may very well be my voice, but it is. It's a sponsor, and we'll be right back. All right, let's jump into the Xbox showcase. What do you think, Christian? Should we just step through the games one by one, or do you guys want to jump around?
I feel like we have to step through.
All right, I think we can step through. Yeah,
I appreciate it. He didn't know.
My fellow red shirt, I trust. I don't trust Christmas green over there, though, for anything.
It is my Christmas green.
But we don't need to spend Christmas as much time with some, all right. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
We started off with the new jewel in the Microsoft ownership brand, which is Call of Duty Black Ops 6, coming October 25th. It is going to be big. It is going to be boisterous. And it is going to, evidently, take place during the Iraq War, the first Iraq War, or second Iraq War? First Iraq War, because it's George Bush the first. In you know, video form, not digital video game form, not a 3D animated version of George Herbert Walker. Video footage, and this does look to me like a game that, I mean, it looks, it's Black Ops, right? So there's conspiracy theories, which kind of worries me when it comes to this time period of the 90s that I lived through. But the game's coming up, Game Pass day one, so I'll probably play the campaign. They put a lot of emphasis on the campaign. Lana, what'd you think of Call of Duty Black Ops 6?
I mean, I don't know why I'm always like, wow, it like looks great.
They have all the money.
The visual fidelity of those games, bananas. It looks beautiful. The trailer, I feel like, oh, I'm so Canadian. I look at it and I'm like, then the rockets, red glare. Yeah. It's like the most American.
Jingoistic, right?
Yeah. It's like extreme in a way where I'm like, whoa, there it is. Call of Duty indeed. Will I be playing it? I shan't. Do the people who play Call of Duties, the bajillions of them, are they probably hype? Probably hype.
Yeah, they had an extended deep dive after the showcase into Black Ops 6, and it looks like they're doing a lot of things, particularly to make the game more accessible, including something they compared to racing game assists, things that they showed a thing where you know, have to run and jump and do all these things, and they're like, in earlier versions of the game, this would take 6 button presses, But in Call of Duty Black Ops 6, we've reduced that down to 0 button presses. And I was like,
that's great, though.
It's great, but like, aren't all I'm doing is pushing buttons? What else am I doing? Just
moving camera.
Now, I guess.
Moving camera. No presses, rotates.
Christian, Call of Duty Black Ops 6 coming to Game Pass day one.
Apparently at almost 310 gigabytes is the how big you said it's going to be big. It was going to be, that's why they're releasing the 1 terabyte console. They're like, oh gosh, we got to get some more
storage. They weren't planning on it. They were like, somebody tweak the colors, ship it.
I'm very curious how this game lands campaign versus multiplayer. That showed a lot of the campaign, and Call of Duty has kind of waffled back and forth between campaign doesn't matter. Everybody just plays a multiplayer. So we're going to release one without a campaign. Okay. Just, we're sorry. Campaign is clearly very important to some of you and we're going to release campaign. Campaign's important. And this seemed to focus on campaign. Black Ops has had an intricate, if often muddy, campaign. And I think with Game Pass, Jeff, we were texting during the show. I think this gets people like us to play the, what I'm assuming is a 4 to 5 hour campaign, except for maybe there's 100 other games coming out on the same day that this comes out. But it's like the idea of you have it. And if you're at the front of the line of a pretty cool looking roller coaster, you're probably going to get on it. You might get off and be like, hey, not my favorite roller coaster, but you're still going to ride it. And I think that's what Black Ops 6 single or campaign kind of positions itself as now. Like, it's this bombastic roller coaster that if you have Game Pass, you already have it, you're probably going to get on that ride, and that's going to be a good thing for Microsoft's numbers. And I think it's a good thing for their advertising of Game Pass. Again, we talked about this a ton, and here you can buy it on PlayStation. I think Phil Spencer pointed out a lot of that, the parity across. This is the first time everybody on every console is getting the same content. For a long time there was exclusive stuff on PlayStation. And then, yeah, you can buy it or you can pay $20 or whatever it is, $15 a month to play it on Game Pass. I think it's going to be a hit. Who would have guessed?
I mean, there's so many games in the showcase that were saying play it day one on Game Pass.
This is one that 100 million people play every month.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, if that's 100 million or, you know, tens of millions of people who are now subscribers to Game Pass, that's a win for Microsoft. That said, I do have a friend who is not in the games industry at all, who texted me during this and said, the Game Pass's price is going up, right? It's like, yeah, probably.
I remember a couple of years ago, it must have been, you know, it was press conference-y. I don't know if it was E3 because it was in this weird hiatus, but I think it was Patrick Dees was on the show. And I think it was Jeff, you, me, and Patrick talking. And both of us I remember going, we're not really Xbox gamers, but why don't all of these games that have like a tiny logo that meant Game Pass? Like, why aren't they putting that front and center? And if you get it, it's day one on Game Pass. It's day one on Game Pass because it feels so huge. Like, the weight of that and seeing all of these things arriving day one on Game Pass now. Yeah. I'm excited
to
see for them.
Us.
I know. It's so good that Phil listens to the show. Loved your orb this morning, Phil. Cool orb for
good
you to
orb.
Stand in.
I will say I mean, we're spending way too long on Call of Duty already, but no, sorry. I will say the one thing when it was like, ooh, you'll play an oil derrick in Iraq that's spewing burning oil. I don't care. You'll play a Siberian. And they're like, and then you get to rob a bank in the Europe. And I was like, now I'm downloading that 300 gigs. I want to play that bank robbing, not bank, not even a bank. It's a casino. Casino you rob. I was like, yeah. All right. Next up. A game I am fairly confident Christian is excited for. I'm pretty excited for, as far as first-person shooters go. The new Doom! We heard rumors that this was going to be some kind of bizarre prequel. And guess what? It's a bizarre prequel. Doom, the Dark Ages, taking place many, many years before Doom. You're not going to Mars. You're going in the Dark Ages, I guess, with a shield. You got a shield? and a giant mech and
classic Dark Ages tools, shield and mech.
And this gun, they showed a gun that uses human skulls as ammo, grinds them up, and shoots them out. I mean, this game looks sick.
Is Christian? There anything more gruesomely joyful? Yeah. Like laughing loudly when they showed the skulls pop up and start getting ground out. I was cackling.
As well you should. I think that is the intended response, right? Mm-hmm. It's so over the top that it's meant to be ridiculous. And, you know, it is the death metal of video games, right? It's just looped back around to being goofy again. You know, so dark that it's not dark. So dark it's light. And it's the Dark Ages. What do you think of using a shield? Christian, you and I were big fans of the last couple of Dooms. This looks like more wacky, high-octane, balls to the wall, pedal to the metal.
Yeah, and while at the Xbox Showcase, this is also a PlayStation 5 game, which, you know, they did not tout very publicly during the presentation, but I think that's interesting. It's one of those kind of coming across the bridge.
Well, according to Microsoft, these could all be PlayStation games at some point.
At some point. depending on how... Okay, let me back up. The trailer showed a little bit of it where it looked like you could see the enemies flashing the colors, the Simon Says colors that Doom 2016, is that when it came out, brought to life. The idea of, okay, this is health, this is ammo, I'm going to do this stuff, the push and pull, the rush of that combat. Doom Eternal, I did not like as much. I think it went a little too heavy into kind of a Simon Says of what I'm doing in every combat interaction, and I found it less satisfying than Doom. And this trailer showed a little bit of that color flash, but I'm curious how it plays out. I'm curious, like, am I going to need to use my shield and need to do that? And I didn't get a lot of those answers from what was shown, but what was shown looked really cool. Like you mentioned the skulls, I think the shield, and he throws it as, you know, like a Kratos axe or whatever it is, like a chainsaw being thrown into space and then he can catch back again. That looked really satisfying. Flying on a dragon and then like opening up this other demon's mouth and breathing fire into it looked awesome. And so I think if they, my personal preference, I'd like them to step back from the eternal complexity, for lack of a better word, and kind of streamline that gameplay closer to the original reboot of this franchise of Doom. But I think there's a lot to like here. I find it hysterical that like Doom guy is getting some weird narrative. Like I like what they did with BJ and Wolfenstein. Like they made him a compelling character, but like before Doom guy was a hero, he was Doom bro. Like he's Doom guy.
He was a super weapon before he was the guy,
the super weapon of gods or something that. Gods and kings or something. But it does feel like it is tongue firmly placed in cheek, right? It feels goofy in the best possible way. And I really enjoy that we have arrived here with the Doom franchise where it's just like its identity is this shtick. And I am down for it. I'm excited for this one. And again, we'll be on Game Pass because Microsoft owns everything. All right. So the next game is one I am much less interested in, but I have been less interested in this entire franchise. And I'm still, you know, I think I'm 10 years into my zombie fatigue. It just hasn't worn off yet. But State of Decay 3, another big, this is a big franchise for Microsoft. This trailer looked pretty evocative if you're into zombies. Any reaction to State of Decay 3 from either of you?
I love the blend between the cinematic action and the gameplay action. I am more and more enjoying when developers are making sure that gameplay is present in some of their first trailers. And I thought that one, like the in-game animus, were pretty clean. Super clean, really beautiful. And the cuts between the cinematic reactions and what I think was clearly gameplay with the UI turned off. I was very excited to see that because it looks great.
I will say one of the things I think Microsoft is doing right overall is having everything clearly labeled as gameplay, cutscenes, in-engine, you know, all that stuff, having that be on the bottom of the screen, I find it very helpful and very, I think, transparent for the audience. Love that. And I also was super happy with how many of them said in-game footage, which is, I felt the majority of stuff they showed was in-game footage, or at least in-engine. Christian, what did you think of State of Decay 3?
Well, they had talked about, or rumors, and some talking about State of Decay 3 bringing a little bit more narrative to the game. State of Decay 2, it was mostly user-creative narrative, created narrative, right? Like, the game was like, go do sandbox. X, get Y. Yeah, sandbox-style play, which you could then have tons of fun, immersive experiences with you and your buddies. And State of Decay 3 apparently is bringing more story to that environment. I'm excited about that because I think that kind of compels me through it. Even in Helldivers 2, the little silly story that's happening in that game makes me more compelled to go in and play than just grinding through my season pass. And so I think if State of Decay 3 can nail that with some actual emotional story moments like this trailer showed, and kind of, I think also having a cool trophy room, if that's what that is, of like fallen comrades and things that you can look at and like remember your past exploits and stuff like that, I think that could be really effective in making this game have a little bit of a broader appeal than something that like State of Decay 1 and 2 were, which I think were a little more niche, not quite Rust, but kind of closer to that than something that's like, oh, I watched The Last of Us, I will now play this zombie game. And it looks like State of Decay 3 might kind of takes from some of that Last of Us audience. And I think that's exciting.
I think the first two were pretty successful, though. So I think this is a pretty successful franchise for them. Not games I enjoy personally, but the fourth game that we saw, we're four games in, and I thought, oh, well, I got my game of show. I thought Xbox Showcase isn't going to top this. Little did I know. But I was very excited seeing Dragon Age: The Veil Guard, which has gotten a subtitle change from, what was it called before?
Dreadwolf.
Dreadwolf. Yeah. What do you think, Veil Guard, Dreadwolf? Which one do you like more, Lana?
I could take or leave either one.
Yeah.
The thing I was most excited about for this, I've never played a Dragon Age game. I've seen a couple of them, and absolutely no shade to previous Dragon Age developers. I've always like, you know, the style of it is just like a little not for me. I'm sitting there next to Jeff Bodine, and he's saying, oh, this is Dragon Age. And I'm like, I don't know if it is. Because in my brain it went, I think Dragon Age is ugly, and this is very beautiful and appealing. And sure enough, it is. I think it looked so gorgeous. Obviously, I've never played any other games, but I was so pleasantly surprised by how appealing I felt like that trailer was.
Well, it was very much a trailer. You know, I don't believe they showed any actual gameplay, although this Tuesday, they say that we'll be debuting actual gameplay from Veil Guard.
Yeah.
So
it was all an engine, though.
It was all an engine. But I don't.
Yeah, it wasn't gameplay, but it was a trailer.
It was in the Hype Train E3 engine. So it was like, choo-choo.
It's also, I do think, much more stylized than Dragon Age has been in its previous iterations. I love Dragon Age. In fact, there was a time when sort of Dragon Age and Mass Effect were compared to each other a lot because they were both big EA, you know, RPG franchises, and they were kind of coming out in parallel. And I was always much more of a Dragon Age guy. I never liked the Mass Effect games very much, and I know that's heresy these days, but Dragon Age was always the franchise I much preferred because it was really so much more interesting. Shades of Grey storytelling, just fantastic. This really does feel like they've kind of gone a fresh direction. It almost looked like a hero shooter with how distinct the characters were and how they were debuted. I thought this looked really, really cool, and I cannot wait to see the actual gameplay reveal on Tuesday to see, you know, what changes they've made in that regard. But I am in for Dragon Age: The Veil Guard. The fact that it's coming out this year is pretty awesome. So I'm stoked for this game. Been waiting for it for a long time.
Yeah, that's the best part about its name. Is like, who cares what it's called? It's called 2024. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, that's pretty wild. You think about, which we'll get to here in just a minute, but big updates to Starfield, Avowed coming this year, Dragon Age coming this year,
a new WoW expansion.
But there's a lot on that on that RPG bone.
I thought 2024 was going to be a little bit of a breather, but no. Lots of stuff happening, probably about the same, like Dragon Age, The Veilguard, and Avowed are probably going to come out in the same week again. Yeah. And I'll be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was interesting that this was an Xbox showing too. I don't think of either. You mentioned, come on, brain. The other BioWare game. Yeah, Mass Effect. I don't associate either of those with being on a console. I guess Mass Effect was maybe Xbox 360 first, if memory serves. But Dragon, I don't have any like allegiance to playing one on a console versus the other. But I think this seemed like a get to show at Microsoft with the release date. I think it gets people excited for it. And maybe on Game Pass as part of the EA access,
yeah, they have
part
a good
of
relationship.
Ultimate tier or whatever.
Just to correct you, I'm working from memory, so I might be wrong, but I believe Mass Effect was very much aligned with the Xbox console.
And then it came to PS3 later and probably kind of broken.
Because I remember that year at E3, Microsoft had two huge trilogy announcements. They're like, we're not just announcing games, we're announcing new IP trilogies. One of them was Mass Effect, and the other was Too Human. So
both
one of them had
known today as great trilogy.
Yes, one of them was a trilogy, and the other was Too Human.
Well, neither was a trilogy. Mass Effect had to go in Andromeda everything, you know. So
yeah,
no.
So you were mentioning it already. A big new trailer for Starfield, and I think one of the coolest things about the trailer is that you didn't immediately know it was Starfield. Like it was a trailer for new DLC, one of which is available now today. There's this new patch that adds a bunch of new content. And then also their new Shattered Space DLC pack, which is coming, I think, in July. But I was, you know, 30, 40 seconds into this trailer before I even thought this was Starfield. And I think that bodes well for what they're bringing to the game with this new content, because it really feels fresh and interesting, I thought. Yeah. I honestly saw that and I was like, I'm reinstalling this game. I really am. I Starfield has – people have turned on that game. I love that game.
I care about –
Did you finish it, Jeff? Did you finish Starfield? Why did we never do a spoiler chat?
I know we never did. But okay. I didn't finish it to the point where I would like to finish it, which is doing all the faction things, and I didn't do any of that. So I'm going to reinstall it and play more of it.
And still not do them all.
Probably. It's a big game.
Sorry, Lana, I interrupted.
Oh, I was just going to say, I care about audio designers and composers. So I actually did know it was Starfield within 1 second because of their very catchy stinger. Wow. But that's just me. Wow. It looked beautiful and sounded great.
Wow.
Yeah, take a sip of your tea after that, Lana. Get on.
Oh,
that.
It's coffee, baby. We do it all hours. The 8 p.m. cafe.
Woo! We're going all night. We got a lot of games to get to.
Woo! On game two. I thought it looked great. I liked the visual change to it. And it's like, you know, it's like, what was it, 2 years ago? It was like, oh, every game is a horror game set in space. And this year it wasn't that. So Starfield was like, we'll be the horror game set in space. We're already set in space.
Yeah.
It looked
none
really
of those creepy. Games have come out, by the way. None of them made an appearance in any of these plays, but I don't know of any of them that came out yet. Like all the ones that we saw, you know? Anyway,
they're still coming, but this looks great. And it's like is it like a Halloween drop? Is that what it was? I don't know if they said it a specific month, but I feel like if this is like
a
spooky season.
I think it was
season,
July.
Even way
July,
earlier than that
wrong.
Then. Yeah. Okay.
Fallout 76 is also getting an update because everybody loves Walton Goggins. So we all want to play
He's
ghouls.
So good.
Is that like a big driver? I didn't play any of the Fallouts, but it's like being a ghoul. Like, whoa.
No, I think Walton Goggins made it cool.
Specifically, oh,
I think so.
He made ghouls
Walton
sexy.
Goggins, all right,
like he really did. Like cool, like a Han Solo like rogue who's got charm and like doesn't have a nose but has everything else going for him.
Exactly. You know,
terminally ill, absolutely desiccated.
Stop it, we still have to record, Lana. Whoo, is it hot here? You're talking about ghouls.
Christian's a nose man, and by nose man I mean he wishes men had no noses.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Is that like, it would be like the opposite of a nose man.
I'm a nose man. What kind of noses do you like? No nose at all.
Keep your nose out of it. Is what that type of nose man. I got your nose.
Big holes.
No, I didn't, because you don't have one.
Just two empty holes in your face.
Hey, anyway, you got to fill the empty hole in my heart, and Walter Goggins does it.
Now
I'm
Christian
just saying,
can.
Never mind. I'm not. Christian can now.
He can now play Fallout 76 as a thirst trap.
All right. Fallout's known for thirst traps. Yeah. They've framed that behind the character for years. They knew what they were doing from Fallout 3 on, and now they're just letting us ghoul it up. Yes.
The next game was the first big surprise for me for the show. The game called Expedition 33.
I immediately was like, I cannot wait to hear what you, Jeff Cannata, think about this.
Christian and I were texting a little bit during, and I'm into it.
You were. You said that a couple times. Cool.
Yeah. We don't want to ruin the show for you, Lana.
Okay.
I want to come off the cuff. I want you to think like, oh man, Christian's so witty.
All of our texts were like, what do you think we should say to Lana during when we bring this game up?
When Lana,
I was like, I can't wait to save
hot.
Up all the.
How am I supposed to react?
I didn't bring up ghouls being hot.
Okay, I have the text that says you were going to do it. So.
Expedition 33 is a French JRPG with just, I think, an incredible art style, visual. I mean, it looks spectacular, in my opinion. And I was into the game when they were kind of showing just the mood and setting in the early part of the trailer. And then they got to the combat, and I was like, somebody made a Final Fantasy like they used to be. Oh,
it was so beautiful.
So beautiful.
The menus themselves, the cameras, like sort of crash zooming in with the chunky menus click, click, click popping up, and the jet. Oh, it was really, really lovely looking.
Somebody pointed out it's actually the combat's closer to Paper Mario, which is having a renaissance because it just got a remake that came out. I am down for this game. It looks awesome. The fiction looks really interesting to me. The world, the look of the world, the sort of, that's another thing that was so striking. There were so many games that just felt like, and we're going to get to the next one like this is literally the next game, that looked like just worlds I've never seen before, and this Expedition 33 looked like a world I'd never explored. It wasn't just another post-apocalyptic zombie game. It wasn't another, sort of the same sci-fi thing. It really had an identity. It really had a something unique that it was bringing to the table in a setting. And I think for me, especially with big role-playing games that I'm going to spend a lot of time in, that is such a compelling part of what I'm looking for. I want to be in a world that I want to be in, that I want to be curious about, that I want to explore. That's why I love the Horizon games, Sony's Aloy Horizon games. It's like, I love that world. It's different. It's unique. I'm compelled to look around every corner. And this Expedition 33 certainly looked like it had that hook for me.
And I just loved it because finally a game with a villain I can agree with. I'm like, get rid of those 30-year-olds, finally.
What a cool idea, right? It's like
laying waste.
Every year the painter counts down and people are getting older. So like when you intersect with the age, you get moited, you get eliminated.
And you have to know it's coming. I imagine it seems like it's going that way. We saw 34 and 33. And so you think that your time has come once this thing has started, but
yeah,
it seemed beautiful and also sad, but it's like this, it almost, it, I got like, Hunger Games vibes from it, where it's like, you know, you still would try to celebrate this thing, the culling, yeah, even though you know it's this terrible thing that's happening, but it's like, this is our life, and now here's this group going to do something about it. It seems cool. Exciting.
It's awesome. By the way, as somebody who's on the other side of 33, like, just let the painter do whatever they're going to do, because
that's what I was saying.
I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Made it. Easy. just turned 33 today.
Oh, Christian, happy lie day.
The next game that they had at their conference is Jeff's an Idiot. That was an interesting game.
No, the next game actually, contender for the, by the way, Lana, you probably already know this, but traditionally what Christian and I do with these conferences, we get to the end of anybody's showing and we go, okay, what's the one game that if you could just go home with right now, magically it's done, magically it's ready, and you get to take with you. So you're gonna, I'm going to have to ask you that when we get to the end of this showcase.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff and I texted about this in advance, but we're just telling you about it right now.
I believe it. Believe it or don't. Believe it or do not. I've listened to the show before.
Well, that's why I said you probably already know this, but I was more explaining it to the audience. But I will. I say that to say South of Midnight, major contender in that category for me. Mm. This game looks so cool, dripping with style. Again, a fresh universe, this kind of southern bayou fantasy world with an alligator that has a whole island on its back and this really cool visual style that kind of looks a little bit, across the Spider-Verse style, animating on the thirds or whatever they call
on
it.
Twos. You probably know better.
On the twos, exactly. That's what I said.
We got this.
Continue.
All right, so I'm going to explain to the animator what's so special about the animation. Anyway, tell me what you thought of South of Midnight, because I was blown away by
it. I want to hear what Christian thinks.
All right.
I love the visual setting. I love the style. Big, creepy catfish, that's your friend. Like, catfish have always grossed me out. So, like, friend catfish, okay, let's go. And I thought what they showed of the combat looked like right up my alley of cool combat, cool traversal. And the protagonist seemed really interesting. I think it's like, seemed like she was carrying some burden. You know, what I wasn't getting from this was I'm the coolest person in this bayou. Ho ho, I'm so cool. Look at these cool powers. This catfish is so cool. And the catfish is like, I'm so cool, bro. I'm your best friend. Like, it wasn't that, which we've seen a lot of over the years. And so I thought the style and tone of it was really cool. And yeah, the animation, the visual style, it almost looked like puppetry. Which I thought was very exciting.
Yeah, transition between that look for the what looked like cutscenes, and then when they showed actual gameplay, it looked smooth and, you know, high frame rate, and it looked like they, you know, eschewed that style, which I thought was smart, because I texted Christian when we were watching this, like, how many people are just going to think this game has a crappy engine? It's like, choppy, look at how bad the frame rate problems on this one.
I'm so excited to hear you're both so excited. I am just immediately biased. My really good buddy, Mike Jungbluth, is the animation director on the show. So I am so excited to see it. It's one of those things where it's like, man, I am so pumped that you get to work on something. Obviously, the Compulsion team doing something so magical here. Such a different flavor, such a different visual style, a story I haven't seen before. I am just so excited. I think for even just for like the bias alone of like this is my friend who has been running the animation summit with me at GDC for however many of the last few years. Just wanting it to be like this, the stress and excitement for him to have been be able to go through with it and have it in people's hands. I know he's been vibrating with excitement over it, and I cannot not feel that. Thinking about showing your game and it showing so well in a lineup of bangers, baby. It's,
yeah,
I am so pumped. I'm so pumped. I think it looks great. I cannot wait to play it. The gameplay itself looks right up my alley.
Yeah.
The animation being such a unique flavor. I just, delicious.
Yeah, we had seen, you know, Microsoft had teased the title of this and given a sense of the kind of setting, you know, with the, I think there was kind of like this creature with a banjo, but we hadn't really seen it in motion yet. And I think, man, I went from curious to just give me this, cannot wait. It looks really strong. And this is the people that made We Happy Few, which is a game I thought also had a really strong visual sense, but wasn't a game I enjoyed. It really feels like they've gone to the next level here. So super excited for South of Midnight. All right. Next up in the Microsoft conference was, I think a first, Lana, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You having worked at Blizzard, for years, but I don't recall there ever having been a World of Warcraft trailer during any kind of summer event, the E3 time period.
This ended. I went to breakfast with some folks today and I was like, this is BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Like this was, I mean, it shows why, to me, it shows why BlizzCon is not happening this year.
Right.
Because I feel like maybe they'll have some big announcements later, but like they don't have, I think it's redundant, but I also don't think that they've got that much to show off. What's Overwatch going on? What's Hearthstone got going on? I don't know. I know everything. They're cooking over there, but I don't know other than this expansion that Chris Metzen already told people was coming, the name and everything.
Yeah. But I thought this trailer was awesome because it kind of steps through like all of the expansions that have left up to it. It's almost like, hey, we know people who watch these haven't really seen World of Warcraft before, so we're really going to just kind of start from the beginning and show you all of them.
You know, that is an excellent point because I will say that like my personal opinions about Blizzard is I find them very self-referential. Yeah. As like a consistent sort of theme. So then being like new Warcraft expansion, here's the first ever cinematic we made for World of Warcraft. I'm like, come on, bro. Look forward. Like I was like an immediate frustration point, but I did not think about the fact that this could be hitting, you know, the non Blizzard gamers for the first time ever somehow. That is a great point. And now I will forgive them for it. But to me, the new stuff that they showed in the trailer, interesting characters I've never seen before in a Blizzard trailer. You know, they always have that like interesting writing happening in the background, this voiceover, a cool new villain. Like there's cool pieces there. For me, I wish they spent a little bit more time forward looking at the new pieces and a little bit like have a shorter script, have a shorter trailer. I totally get the new audience thing. That's
I just can't believe we're 2 months away from it. It's end of August. It's like,
no, yeah.
Whoa.
I'm not ready. Believe it either.
I'm not prepared. And again, this is the first of a trilogy that they have announced of expansions. So, Christian, you don't have to weigh in here. If I know you're not a WoW guy, but if you want to,
my only thoughts were that there was no gameplay. And so it's like, I don't know how much.
Wow.
Well, that's the thing. I think so. You're showing this for people who have already played it or experienced it. But I think as part of this larger showcase, I don't think it's necessarily going to move the needle in terms of like, oh, yeah, I do want to try that for the first time. I think that ship has sailed. So, to your point of like showing the whole narrative of what it was, I feel like, you know,
I think that's what they're selling now.
Is it on Game Pass?
No. No. But I think that's what they're selling now with WoW isn't, hey, click the icons. Remember the icons that you clicked 15 years ago? They're still there. They're still the icons. I don't think they're, you know, I think what they're selling now with WoW is this decades-long story. Look at how much has happened. This is the next big thing. And they even said out, the story ends or something like that.
The end begins or something like that. Yeah.
How many times do you think they've said the final battle?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. All right. Well, the next game is the Christian game because I am not a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, but we got just stuck in the middle here. Something people have been clamoring for months, if not years. The Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater remake, actual gameplay in the game. What's it going to look like? How are you going to do it? What's the update look like? Christian, huge Metal Gear Solid fan. What do you think?
I thought it looked real good, and I liked that we still got like quirky cutscenes in it. You know, the like the QCQ close quarter combat moment. He's like flipping over the guy, taking the gun, doing the thing. Like, you don't do that. That's what zero button press is. You know, it's very much a cinematic in the game, I'm assuming, based on past Metal Gears and that moment. Yeah. But I thought the game looked incredible. You know, it's a game. Metal Gear Solid 3 is a game very ahead of its time when it came out. The idea of crafting, and it was a big evolution from that franchise. You have to, you know, shoot and kill food and worry about stamina and your hunger gauges and all this stuff that the other games didn't worry about. And now you see that across the spectrum. It's like every game is an RPG. You know, I think every game has taken different parts of Metal Gear over the years. And I think Metal Gear Solid 3 is a big example of game of a game that people have kind of picked from and making their games over the years.
I just wish it had more variety in the kinds of things you could hunt and kill, because he's just a snake eater.
Well, that's all you eat, but you killed plenty of other things. You just leave it to rot. Yeah. I'm very curious to see how those systems play out. Like, again, that's the thing. That's the next step. Like, ooh, this in-game stuff looks awesome. How are they implementing the systems? Did they change any of that? Did they streamline any of it? Did they round any of those edges? Or is it still going to be as systematic as it was when the game first came out? But in terms of showing off graphics and being like a jaw-dropping game, I thought it looked stunning. And it's fun to hear, you know, Gravelly Snake back again. It's always nice to hear that, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, next up was more Sea of Thieves. Their Season 13 has a new crazy ship. We don't need to linger on that. A game that we've heard about before, unless you want to, Lana.
No.
Okay. You laughed, and then you agreed.
It's just the way that you said it was funny. We don't need it. They got a big ship.
I mean, Sea of Thieves fans, I'm sure, excited. People love that game, but, you know, it's not, you don't need to talk about it too much. Flintlock, Siege of Dawn is a game we've known about for quite a while. It's coming out next month. They showed a significant portion of what this game is going to play like, and it looked very stylized, kind of a Souls-like, not particularly my jam, but looked kind of cool. Anybody got ideas, opinions?
This is the one with the little creature. That's your friend? Is this one?
Well, there was like you could shoot and you could slice it up. I don't know if there was a creature that was your friend.
Oh, getting this confused with another one?
Don't you wish it was called Harry Potter Quidditch Champions? Mm-hmm. Don't you wish it was called Harry Potter?
Yeah. I'm going forward through this thing more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the one you've got like a little companion that's with you that you like, you're diving through the air. It like bounds for you. I don't know if it is you, it's part of you.
It's like also a god. It's like if you're I couldn't tell.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was
you're
that
right
thing.
It's got a little, there's a little pet.
Yeah,
very heavily featured in the trailer. Yeah. The most surprising thing to me is that it's from the makers of Ashen, which was like so stylistically not this. I am excited about it. I think it looks cool. Not a lot to say other than pretty cool.
Age of Mythology Retold looks pretty cool to me. You know, this is an Age of game. So, you know, it's a god game, but you're controlling gods, which I thought looked pretty sick. Pretty into that. But I think one of the biggest surprises was next after that game. A lot of folks saying, hey, don't expect to see Perfect Dark, even though it's been a long time since we heard anything about it. This isn't the year. Still a long way off. Don't expect to hear anything about Perfect Dark. Then lo and behold, we get in-game stuff for Perfect Dark. And ho Nelly, did this look cool to me. You know, Perfect Dark was announced however many years ago now, and then went radio silent. And we weren't sure, you know, we heard troubled, you know, starting over from scratch in the development process. This looks so cool. First person, as you would expect from a Perfect Dark game. Gadgets, espionage, gunplay, a really cool setting, futuristic. Lana, what did you think of Perfect Dark, which evidently is not going to get a subtitle of any kind? It really is a full reboot of this franchise.
I thought it looked awesome. I've not Perfect Dark, talked about it many times on the show. Big chunk of my life where there's just like a very sporadic video game knowledge. This is one of the ones that I've heard so much about. And let me tell you, you girl thought it was a horror game. Perfect Dark. That's the zone I thought it was in. Sure. The trailer ended and I said, well, there's not a horror game in there at all.
See, her name is Dark.
And she's Perfect Dark. She's perfect. Agent Dark. Right. Perfect Agent Dark. Dark.
Perfect.
When I realized that's what the name was, I can't believe that's how it was named. Perfect Dark, cool ass name. At odds with what the game was to me, but I am excited for it. It does look sick as hell.
I guess you haven't met Agent Space then, who cures people who are dead. You know, Dead Space, the detective game. Oh, we have another dead body. We better call Agent Space to come investigate. Dun, dun, dun.
There's that game about Mr. Left, who owns the morgue. He's the left for dead.
See, his name is Duke Nukem. Christian, I popped like a mark for Perfect Dark. I was so into what they showed. What was your reaction?
I thought this was an incredible trailer. At first I was like, oh man, they're doing a no combat Perfect Dark. Like, how intriguing. And then we got combat and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And tons of combat.
There's a lot of combat, but it looked compelling. I thought it was interesting. And I don't know how you decide this as the player, but you know, she's stunned. There's one sequence where she like runs out of a room. She takes out her gun and she stuns a guy. I'm like, oh, non-lethal. And then another guy comes around the corner and she just kills that guy. And I'm like, ooh, would have rather been the first guy. like, oh, that stinks. But I thought the non-combat stuff looked really interesting. You know, if they can pull that off in a way that is fun to do, I think Batman Arkham Origins did detective work in an interesting way back when it came out. And if this is more than a mini game,
Metroid Prime kind of ish.
Metroid Prime, yeah. Does some cool investigations.
Yeah.
So if this is all more than a mini game, I think that's really exciting for what it could possibly bring to the table. And then Jeff, I was screaming, you know, in your general towards Denver when they were showing all the Mirror's Edge aspect of Perfect Dark. Like that has not traditionally part of Agent Dark's repertoire. And it looked cool, compelling. And I think if all of these different sides of this game can come together, I think it could be really special. The thing that bummed me out is still at the end of it, there wasn't even a year. Yeah. You know, it's still in the dark, I think, in terms of when we might get to play it.
Indeed. It's a bummer it didn't say 25 or anything. You know, it's like, ooh, it's farther away than 25, or they just don't know, you know. But I did like that it was all in the game, right? We didn't see, it wasn't another, you know, stylized trailer of some kind. It was in the game. So that gives me a lot of hope. Go ahead.
I love that the mood of the show is like, oh my God, is another game that's like right in 2025. It's like same window, or like, oh, it didn't even say 2025. Like, what does this mean?
Is that not the microcosm of the entire video game industry? It's like, you can't win. You know, it's like, oh, it's too many games, but there's also not enough games. We're just petulant children.
Well, I think there's too many games, but also there's too many games being announced too far out. My fear for this Microsoft press conference is how much are they going to show that I still won't have played? Because Perfect Dark was announced 4 years ago, whenever it was, Fable 2, several years ago. And I think Xbox for a little while got ahead of its skis in terms of being excited about these studios and these franchises they're working on, and none of those games have come out yet.
Yeah.
And so I was a little nervous about that, but then Microsoft went and dropped $70 billion on Activision, and suddenly they have a lot of games coming out this year.
Do you think it's like, hey, you like Game Pass, it's already good, but there are going to be big games on it eventually. We promise. Here they are. We'll let you know when they get here, but they will be on Game Pass eventually.
I think that's part of it. Yeah. Here's what's coming now. You know, Diablo, like, that's next, right? Diablo's getting a big expansion. Starfield's there. Indie's going to be like, there's a lot of 24 Avowed. There's a lot of 24 games on Game Pass. And I think what they're trying to set the expectation of is, and there's more. There's, yeah. You know, this is not a one-time rush. Like, we have now this pipeline of big games, Call of Duty, all this stuff coming now and in the future. So get on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. Hopefully they don't raise the price too much as they go on. I was going to say something else about Perfect Dark, and now it jumped out of my head. But I think it really does deserve the, like, no subtitle. It really feels like this is a redefinition of what this franchise is going to be, and I'm excited for that. It really does feel like they're pushing the edges of what this is, and it is a known IP, but it feels like a very fresh take. So I'm thrilled for what this looks like. Then another Blizzard project, Diablo 4's upcoming expansion, Vessel of Hatred, which is coming really soon. They showed, you know, Blizzard is unsurpassed as far as cinematic trailers. And, you know, their cinematics in-game, their cinematics are just, they have the creme de la creme. And I think that was on display with what they showed for Vessel of Hatred. This absolutely stunning level of
realism.
Visual. Oh,
I am so, I mean, I've always been impressed with them. They've always done killer work. I really do feel like this one was even a step above. Like, and pretty rarely is it like, oh, realism, like, that's the thing that we're all aiming for. I'm very much an advocate of, like, you know, the strong stylistic direction is the thing that gives something like more timeless look, yeah. Whatever. But I mean, it was really stunning acting, amazing rendering, the modeling of the characters so unique and like real feeling from the, you know, moments in the boat that are spooky and intense, but not so crazy, to the absolute gruesome spectacular that it cuts away to. Just, I'm deeply impressed with the work that they put out there.
Indeed. Yeah. The other thing that is of note for me about Blizzard cutscenes is that it's usually like 4 or 5 years after a Blizzard cutscene that's what in-game looks like. And I kept thinking, like, how long until this is what real time is going to look like? I bet not very long. And it's pretty incredible. Then another huge surprise, another game we weren't sure was going to be there, a game long promised and very rarely mentioned since its original debut, Fable. Another game franchise that is getting a subtitle-free reboot, reimagining, refresh, Fable. And my goodness, you know, we had seen kind of a jokey, British, fun cinematic trailer, I don't know, last
year? People say it was gameplay.
Like 3 years ago.
Was it 3 years ago?
No, last year. I mean, it was last year, and someone predicted that you'd get one, and we did. And that's fine, but yes, we got another one. Go ahead.
It wasn't, but again, wrong and wrong. But this, I thought, very different tone, still humorous and dry, that very British humor that Fable is known for, and it seems like they're leaning into, and I love. Mm-hmm. Not enough funny games, you know, not enough games that are willing to be fun and funny, but really seemed to reveal the kind of the main plot of what this game is going to revolve around. And I would guess looked like some in-engine, in-game, walking around, gorgeous, gorgeous world stuff. Jaw-dropping look for Fable. This is, I mean, the previous Fable games I very, very much enjoyed. I think this could You know, this is from the folks that gave us Forza Horizon. And they make gorgeous games. I feel like this could be something very, very special. I'm so excited for what they're doing with Fable. And it looks like it's going to be here in 2025 unless, you know, it gets the inevitable delay. Lana, what did you think of Fable?
Looked beautiful. I fully agree. I love the humor. I mean, I also agree that there are not enough funny games, but also not enough that like actually sort of stick the funniness to the game very well. And this struck me in such a way that it seems like it might hit that mark. I'm really looking forward to it. Unsurprisingly, haven't played a Fable before. I will definitely be playing this one.
Christian, Fable. We weren't sure it was going to show up. I thought it just was. I thought it was a mic drop kind of. The way the game looks, the tone, the style, the world building. I thought it hit all the marks. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it was good to see, even with just the year 2025 date at the end of it, because we've heard that the game has been troubled. The development has been troubled from announcement to kind of retooling or perhaps Playground Games not knowing exactly how to pull this off, even though all they've done is make hits in the past. This is a different genre for them. So there have been kind of whispers or rumors or rumblings about that. And I think what better way to quell those than to come out and show something that looks as polished as this trailer looked and also seems to understand what the IP can be. And find a niche for itself in a very crowded RPG landscape. And I think Fable is kind of carving out its own path in a world of Dragon Ages and WoW expansions and Avowed's. And, you know, all of a sudden we're in this world of a lot of fantasy-based RPG action games again. And I think for what this showed, it showed its own identity. And I think shows a game that is something to be excited about and not, you know, oh, well, this is going to be a dumpster fire. We'll see when it comes out. I think this now puts it back on the top of people's wish lists in a big way. It looked great.
Yeah, I think the Dungeons and Dragons movie that did pretty well last year with movie. Chris Pine. Yeah,
loved it.
So good.
I think it got that tone that so many people that play D&D enjoy and really proved what a wonderful marriage fantasy storytelling and comedy can be. You know, there's, and I think that Fable is going to benefit from that. Like, man, I just think it's the right time for this. It's the right team to make it. It looks like, man, I'm very optimistic for how this Fable is going to turn out.
And to that point, the Forza Horizon games are funny. They're not funny in the way that Fable is, but that team, even in those games, had a sense of humor with like the achievements you unlock as you go through someone's cornfield or whatever it is, or even like the DJs that are announcing the different festivals as they go on. It's a very lighthearted game. So I think it makes sense when you kind of zoom out to think, oh yeah, that type of sensibility could translate to Fable's sensibilities in a big way. It looks like that's panning out.
And my understanding with the next game is they passed a rule in 2024 that you can't have one of these unless you announce a new hero shooter. So Microsoft complied.
Yeah.
With Fragpunks, their 5v5 hero shooter that mixes things up with these cards that you evidently feed into your gun that change things. One of the cards they showed was flipping the map upside down, which that looked cool. I don't know, you know, the hero shooter genre just overnight became extremely crowded. And not all of these are going to survive. I fear for Fragpunks because I'm not sure how it will do against a lot of these other big heavy hitters coming, you know, Marvel Rivals and a lot of these other games that we've seen. But I thought it looked kind of neat. What did you think, Lana?
I thought it looked kind of neat. It had a very it looked very Valorant inspired, if I may, you know, coming from Riot, from the soundtrack being sort of like this
coming
crunchy
to consoles. Oh. Valorant coming to consoles. Coming to consoles.
But like from the soundtrack being kind of like this crunchy driving beat to some of the sort of more toonier, bold VFX and artistic choices to even like the flavor of the gun reloads, to me, it's got like a very Valorant inspired and in a great way. I'd be really excited to try it out personally. I love a hero shooter. I think there's a reason so many of them are getting made is because I think that they could be a really good time. I hope that Fragpunks, you know, is able to carve its little niche. And a thing where you could have these cards that really affect the game seems like a very interesting, cool way to keep it fresh and have a reason to keep players coming back. So I'm excited to try it and see how it actually feels.
Christian, anything on Fragpunks?
I agree. I'm curious if the audience that rallies around the hero shooter will rally around something perhaps this quirky. You know, I think Big Head Mode was another one.
Oh, yeah.
And then a lot of folks are, you know, examining every patch note for how Mercy was nerfed. And I'm curious with cards like this, how that affects balance. When Valorant updates guns, you know, it's like, oh, well, this doesn't, it ruined my selection. And it's a big deal for how people play this game. And I wonder if this kind of opens up that freedom because it's just kind of silly, or if it struggles to find that balance of competition.
Yeah. Winterboro is next. A survival game. Looked like it sort of had indie vibes to it, you know, a 2D. Little tiny mouse going around, surviving in this wilderness, sort of cartoony. I thought it looked lovely. Anybody on Winterboro?
Looks like a real Happy Days game.
Yeah,
looks... sure. It's only full of joy. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah, that
little mouse is going to have the best day of their life.
Fine.
Yeah.
I was briefly like, mouse guard. And then it wasn't. I was like, oh, okay.
The next game I mentioned at the top, and this one really blew me away. I'm a huge fan of The Artful Escape. Oh, loved that game. Such an amazing experience. And this is the next game from that team. Anything published from Annapurna, I pay attention to. They're just like, a home run factory as far as games I like.
You're a real Stan Aperna.
I am. I'm a Stan Aperna.
That's for sure, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. That can't be beat.
The thing I think is interesting that is so appeals to you about this game is that you're like, it's a game that looks nothing like a game. I'm very fascinated with you, like the reason that's the thing that sort of draws you in. Is it just the presentation of it, or like what is the thing that you anticipate from the play experience that gets you excited about it?
Well, I think one of the things I'm curious about is what the play experience is going to be, because it looks like a game that has grander ambitions than games usually do from a tone and narrative point of view. Like, even games that we hold up as having great narratives, and I would even agree as having a great narrative, tend not to be particularly nuanced. You know what I'm saying? Subtle. Mm-hmm. They aren't even an indie video game isn't doing what an indie film is doing, right? A movie that is trying to do something a little more subtle, a little more, less on the nose with good and evil, for example. This looks like a coming of age drama, in a time period that I came of age. You know, it's got like the list of music that's going to be in the game is, you know, this is not contemporary music artists. This is a game for people that, you know, came of age in the 90s or late 80s. So I'm drawn to it in that way as well, but it looks like all of the moments in it that they were showing from the trailer aren't things you generally do in a video game. It looks like you're hanging out, you're, you know, doing these risky teenage things, but also doesn't look like a walking simulator. Like, I'm very curious as to what the gameplay experience is, but I'm super excited that someone is taking this medium and doing that with it.
Yeah.
I just hope there's a button to roll your eyes at your dad, you know, and you can just like, ah, ah. It looks beautiful. I am very curious what the gameplay is. Is it Life is Strange-esque? Is it, oh goodness, what's the, frequencies? Two
oh, yeah.
Out.
Yeah. The radio
totally
station
just flew out of my head.
Hangout yeah. game. Yeah.
Yeah. Hangout game, and you're tuning things and it's spooky. They just made a second one.
Oh, gosh.
Someone's in their car is yelling it to us already. Yeah. So thank you, listener, for getting that for me. Or is it, there was a very visually interesting game that came out last year, 2 years ago, about like the bank heist gone. Firewatch?
Firewatch is not a bank heist. It's the you're
no
a,
no Firewatch is Firewatch the Toonie radio one.
No no Firewatch,
no Firewatch
is
the other one.
Is the, you're literally a
watching
watching
fire.
For fires.
Guy. Oxenfree, there
Oxenfree.
It is.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. Oxenfree was the one I was thinking about before. Or there was the one where it's like you discovered like you got this bag of money and it was from different people's perspective. I'm really bad. It's been a long weekend, everybody. A lot of game names. And it was like this visual novel. I think it also was on Game Pass, like Mixtape is. And it was like, what would you do with the money? And it shows it from different people's perspectives. I found that game, but I can't remember its name, to be a little flat. And so I'm very curious if Mixtape can bring the play experience to the game, because that's why I love games, right? I love movies, and they're fantastic, but I really love interactive media. So I hope the interaction delivers as well.
Yeah, and I don't want people to mistake what I'm saying as like, no game has ever tried anything like this, because you listed off several. I could list off several more that, you know, particularly in the indie space, that have done really interesting things like this. But I just love when games do it, and it seems like this team... Artful Escape was so cool and so interesting and so different. So I'm excited for it. But Lana, what is your what are your thoughts on Mixtape?
I think it looks gorgeous. I think one of the things, being very honest, that I'm a little self-conscious about, because I have the stream chat up and I see Joe Animates is the animator on Mixtape hanging out with us right now.
Oh, really? Wonderful.
Yeah. So the thing that I my thoughts are, it's like, it's so gorgeous. And it is so nostalgic. And I mean, the even being like, here are the music that is going to be present on the mixtape.
Yeah.
It's targeting, you know, me. I love those bands. Yeah. I love those sounds. I love the visuals. But when it comes to like the things I like about game experiences, I like a lot of game experiences, but often I like ones that are more like deeply interactive. In a way that there's like sort of lots to do. I also love, you know, a What Remains of Edith Finch situation, but I don't know where this is landing. And depending on sort of like the overall pace of it, I'm wondering where the actual playing of the game will land for me, but aesthetically, from the art direction to the music direction to the trailer editing, it all very, very much appeals to me.
I agree.
For everything that we got.
This is super contender for my game of show. As I said at the beginning of our recording, I'm just, again, to be specific about which bands they listed in the trailer: Devo, Roxy Music, Lush, Smashing Pumpkins. So that's four that they put. Also, Iggy Pop, Susie and the Banshees, Joy Division. Come on. So this feels like, it's in my feels already, and it's a vibe I'm vibing on. And as you said, the visuals look really, really strong.
Mm-hmm. And the trailer, I think, captured the feeling of that age of like being a teenager, and whether the car actually flies or not, I don't know. But that feeling of like you're out with your friends and nothing can stop you or get in your way, and you have your whole life in front of you, and the best song ever comes on the radio.
Yeah,
it's such a feel. As Dusk Falls was the other game I couldn't think of. That was like a visual novel that looked very compelling.
I think one of the things that strikes me the most, and I think maybe part of this is because I have a very poor memory. I think I've talked about it on Wednesdays before. Like there's spikes of memories from my childhood that like really stick out to me, but a lot that's really fuzzy. And one of the things that this particularly strikes at me is I have so many strong memories of, you know, you're up in Edmonton and, you know, the sun sets at 10 p.m. And so you have this beautiful golden light for so many hours and skateboarding through the river valley or through the neighborhood with some friends and having conversations that I'm like, oh, was that a conversation we had? Was that a dream I had? And sort of there's a surreal quality of the memory that is like so rich with nostalgia, and the surrealism that sort of becomes more and more present through the trailer. All of that feels so like evocative of my own memories.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I love the
really
character.
They had me when they said Annapurna. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I know, it's so true.
It's like, oh, Annapurna Game Pass, I'm in.
Can I write a script that when it sees the logo, it just adds to wish list? I'd really like to save that.
Yeah. I love the character models. They're kind of stylized in this really distinct way. And Christian, what you were saying about, you know, the feeling like as the cars are they floating off the rooftop or whatever. I think The Artful Escape nailed that in its own way in a very different context. But the Artful Escape kind of made it that feeling of like loving music and feeling like you can play a guitar lick and it makes you able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. That, what they achieved with that, and it seems like they have a much bigger canvas here, a much more, you know, I think ambitious kind of game. I am just really, really excited for Mixtape. In top three, I think, things I saw all weekend, you know, I think Mixtape is top of my list.
And is it called Mixtape but ran on a CDR? Like, I love that. I love that. Because my kids still call audiobooks books on tape as they listen to them on their iPads. And I love that, like, detail. Like, here's a mixtape. It's a CD.
I burned
it's
you a mixtape. What?
Yes. I love it. Very period accurate.
All right, let's take another quick break, and we'll be back with more from the Microsoft show. All right, Microsoft Flight Simulator had another just mind-blowing trailer. Every time I see this, I'm like, I wish I could play this. I wish I was an aviator.
I love that's how they frame it. Like, prepare for your career in aviation. You know, they don't even, it's like, hey, dude, learn how to fly.
It's not a game. It's not a game. Yeah, it's like Microsoft has game after game after game, and then they take a second and they're like, word processing. Have you thought about it? Like, look how beautiful this word processor is.
It is so. I mean, like, here's all the things you can do. You can private jet some rich jerk. I'm like, nice. Let's go. Uber simulator.
Then later, rescue that same rich jerk whose yacht crashes in the middle of the ocean.
Then later, go to the oil rig that rich jerk owns. Also in the ocean.
So many facets of rich jerk available.
And finally, fly all the regular folk home in your
economy.
On your United plane. Yeah. just stunning.
Incredible.
I was impressed when they released this on console, when they did it on the console release of it, because it was still so beautiful. And I feel like this is a game that clearly a group of people are very passionate about, because it keeps getting big, major updates in a way that are very realistic. It's like Gran Turismo or, you know, Forza. Like, someone is modeling all these crafts, because people who know this stuff know, like, that's not what that they only made 10 of private jet inside looks like or sounds like.
Yeah.
And they're putting in the time, and I love to see that. I am more of a car person than a plane person, but I love that the Gran Turismo of planes exists.
Don't sell yourself short, Christian. You're very plain.
I am the rich jerk, okay? I'll admit it.
You're a plain person.
You or Lana can fly me around in my private jet. I'll be I'll take that as a compliment, Jeff. I'll be a plain person.
There's a moment that they show in the trailer of you like landing somewhere and getting out and taking pictures of deer. Can you just land anywhere on Earth and they just have what would be there? Is it because I'm at this point would believe it.
I will say they landed there and I was like, The ears were a little floppy on the deer. I mean, you put the work into the plane. You gotta put the work into the wildlife. If I can take a photo of it, put the time.
We literally made Earth and then all of the creatures that people it. You can fly to any location on Earth, land wherever you want, and there will be appropriate creatures there. And Lana's like, yeah, but are they furry enough?
What? I was commenting on the animation quality, not the visual fidelity. Here's the thing, that it must be a dream job. You love planes?
Yeah.
I bet if you love planes, you're working on Microsoft Flight Sim. If you're working on Microsoft Flight Sim, people who own planes probably and like games probably play your game and want their planes in your game. And I bet you get to go look at all of the coolest planes on Earth all the time. I bet it is like, for somebody who maybe started off as like hobbyist interested in flight stuff, honestly, the absolute dream job.
Yeah. Does sound cool.
We're not getting any of the other showcases, are we?
I was going to say, we're still like 15 more games in
this one.
There's
15 more games in this one, and then there's 400 more games. So I told you guys to hunker down. We're doing a 16-hour show. So
when you said we're recording again on Monday, you meant we're recording still on Monday.
Yeah, we hit our usual time where we wrap things up. Guess what, everybody? Still talking about Microsoft.
Lana collapses. We just call Tower Mina. All right, you're in. I fall asleep for an hour. Jeff takes it again. Yeah. You know,
it's a relay race.
Giant Bomb has a whole cast and crew on their couch. Not us.
Yeah, no.
By the end of this, you won't be able to understand a dang thing I say.
All right, I'll move a little quicker.
I was like, there's one we're not chatting about for a long time. It's Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah, we're doing 40 minutes on Microsoft Flight Simulator.
No, that was Sea of Thieves. Yeah. Jeff was like, I don't care about that game. Right. Moving on.
No, we got to talk about this Elder Scrolls 6 DLC next.
Oh, good Lord.
Thoughts? No, I'll move through that fast. Life is Strange Double Exposure looks cool. I'm not a Life is Strange player, even though I just professed my love for games like it. But I've never really played any of those. People love them.
This one looks great and excellent name for the trailer that it showed. I really like the name. Yeah. It's like a very lame thing to say, maybe. That's a great subtitle. Anyway.
Double Exposure. And it's a cool idea, this parallel universe. You have to solve this murder in two parallel worlds. Kind of cool. The next big major thing, though, was Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. We've seen gameplay before. We've seen what this game is going to be. It's coming out this year, which is wild. And we got an extended cutscene. This is another one where, like, you have to press no buttons and you just get an Indiana Jones movie. But I mean, I think this game is cool. I'm still not in love with the first person perspective on this, but
that's the only biggest bummer to me. The fact that you have the Harrison Ford model, the Harrison Ford voice sound
Dude,
like guy.
Such a good voice alike.
Such a good voice alike. I'm like, there's like a 10% where like Harrison's voice is normally kind of a monotone, but he has sort of a breathy intensity sometimes that he gets, that because he's doing the impression, he doesn't quite get there sometimes. But the whole thing is
Joel.
Like
Joel. It's Joel doing that voice. That's Troy.
Wow, good job, Troy.
Man,
good job.
He's too talented.
Anything. Ooh, it
Troy
is incredible.
Baker, too talented.
Incredible.
It looks, the way that it's shot, the gags that they have in it, the jokes are hitting. It feels Indiana Jonesy to me. There's like a little bit of like slowness to the mocap that is like not quite landing perfectly. Everything is like 10%, a little bit not like the movies, but it is. It's sticking to me. I'm like trying not to get actually excited about a sweet little Indiana Jones adventure.
Yeah. I mean, there were the sequence that they showed. I'm like, I think that's better than the last movie was.
The Dial one or the Crystal Skull?
The Dial one. Oh. Well, definitely both.
Definitely Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what this showed is that they nailed the tone of Indiana Jones, What and like they did show some later, like you in first person combat. But what I loved about this cutscene is how it embodied who I think Indiana Jones is, where he's getting punched more than he's punching.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones only wins at the end. The whole rest of it, he is losing, you know, like constantly getting beat up, thrown around, always in control in some form or fashion, but like not the before he was a hero. Indiana Jones is not Doom Guy. And I think this nails that tone. It nails the aesthetic. And the villain in this cutscene was so perfectly cheesy, like intentionally.
I like that the villain is scared of heights. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, yes.
Like, pretty rad.
Oh, so good. And I think first person is a risk, but also Machine Games has only made hits in first person. So
yeah,
I think it works if you're going to give it to that developer. I am stoked.
There was the shot where he steps into the doorway in first person and you see the shadow with the hat on. And I was like, that's rad. That they get it. Like they get what the silhouette is important. They get that. And it didn't seem like a cutscene. It felt like I just walked into that room and I could look down and see my silhouette as Indy. I was like, that's cool. That's cool. Next game is called Mecha Break, which is like, if this game had come out 20 years ago, I would have thought it was the coolest friggin' thing in the entire world, where you could just build any mech you want, fly them around. Looks rad. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers. Anybody have any opinions on that?
Beautiful. I think it looked beautiful. That is one that I think unfortunately falls into.
That's like the tower defense-y one. No.
What?
You keep talking.
I think it falls into a problem of like the name doesn't say what it is. And unfortunately, in the middle of this showcase, it's one of the ones that kind of maybe falls through the cracks. That's what I was going to say. Because what happens next is another really big game that maybe this is the first showing of it. So next time people will be like, oh, it's that game again, because it is 2025. So,
Microsoft was like, hey, I know you guys want a new Elder Scrolls game, but Avowed is going to fill that gap. The new trailer looks really good. I'm so excited for Avowed. I can't wait. It looks awesome. And then right after that, they're like, hey, I know you want a new Fallout game. We got one of those too. It's called Atom Fall. How? I thought that was kind of funny, right? I mean, I don't know. Was I the only one that was struck by that? That it was like Avowed is Elder Scrolls. Scratch that itch for you. And I know everybody's been watching that TV show. If only there was a new Fallout. Hey, guess what? Atom Fall. We're going to call it Atom Fall? Atom Fall? It's so on the nose. Like, this game looks kind of cool. But my goodness, is it Fallout vibes? And you called it half the name. This game is called Outfall.
But do you know what's better about Atom Fall? It comes first in the Yellow Pages.
AAA Fallout.
Yeah, it looked very Fallout to me, but
I mean, it looks cool.
It's probably room for it. Yeah,
looks cool. I was surprised to see an extended in-game gameplay trailer for Assassin's Creed Shadows. I'm certain we're going to get more tomorrow at the Ubisoft show of this game, but looks real good.
I love that the two different characters have such distinctly different play styles. I love that, because you've had two playable characters in the past.
Yeah.
But they've both been like similar in that you can sort of make your playstyle be what it is. But now there's two playable characters, and one's got the chonky armor, and then one is the stealth character. It looks cool.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be this binary choice of which one are you going to do. It feels like, well, sometimes you're going to be this one, sometimes you're going to be that one, and I think that's cool. It looks really good. One of the things I was worried about is that it was going to sort of be indistinguishable from a lot of the other games set in feudal Japan that we've had recently, you know, the Ghost of Tsushima's of the world and others. And it really doesn't. It looks like they've carved out their own kind of visual style that immediately was like, oh, this is an Assassin's Creed game. I'm excited for this one.
I just want to be big boy jumping off a rooftop into a haystack, you know? Let him climb. Let my big samurai climb a little bit.
There's like a lower one that he goes to.
He just like goes up onto a stair and then falls backwards.
Yeah, she's like, are you going to come up here and leap? And he's like, I'll just hop off the back of the...
He does it, but it makes such a loud noise with all the armor. It alerts every enemy.
We're going to need more hay.
I can't wait to definitely maybe play this game. I'm going to say that I'm going to, but that's what I said the last three times.
Fair enough. I am not a Stalker fan. I did like that they made a big deal that this game was made in the Ukraine. I thought that was a nice thing to do. But I am not into Stalker in any way. Not my jam.
I thought this game looked great. It looked spooky. It looked intense.
Yes.
You know, you got your Geiger counter, whatever, doing two things. Like, I think mechanics like that are always fascinating. Yeah. Of you're doing a thing that distracts you from the other thing that is certainly going to scare you, but you have to do the thing to do the other thing.
Yeah.
And I think it looked very, very intense. I'm excited for it. I think it's, I have high hopes for it. I think it's going to fill a niche for not Call of Duty style.
FPS.
You know, shooter kind of thing. I think it was good.
Then the big one more thing at the end of the show, the new Gears of War. It turns out Gears of War E-Day is a prequel set 14 years before the original Gears of War. Dom is in the game looking so young. Just so young. And
I thought he was wearing a full-on backwards baseball cap before I realized it was like a bandana.
That's his bandana. That's his own bandana. They de-aged
the origin
Dom.
Of the bandana is what it is. Like,
yeah. He lost the baseball cap to the pit.
Yeah.
It's the Uncharted movie, but you know, he doesn't get the bandana till the end. You're like, no bandana.
His name is Solonsky. The trailer, I thought, was a lovely throwback to those iconic old Gears of War trailers with the music that they brought back, that sort of slow.
They stepped it down further.
Yeah.
They took the song and stepped it down even further.
It's true.
It very much is nostalgia. This game is like, remember the first Gears trailer you loved? Remember the characters you loved? Do you remember the cliffhanger at the story of the end of 5? Well, forget about that and remember all this other stuff that you love.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Philly Spenny listened to the show when the DLC theme played the wrong so many times in slow motion. He was like, I have a great idea.
More.
Pitch
more
it
of that.
Down again.
I was bummed that we didn't get any in-game of this. You know, it said that everything was in engine, but Gears of War has always traditionally been an Unreal showcase, and I can't wait to see what this game looks like. I'm excited for it. Gears of War is fun, but
I'm bummed it's a prequel. I'm bummed it's a prequel. I know what happens to these characters. I know what happens to Marcus and Dom. I know what happens.
I'm weird. I guess I don't play. How long?
Five. Yeah.
It was right at the
20. Is that pandemic or was it
beginning of this generation, console generation, or end of this generation?
Look it up.
I thought it was the end of the last
console generation.
I think it was the end of the last console generation, and they put out the upgraded version on this one.
2019, yeah.
Oh dang! Well,
and they brought back of War, right? Gears 5 was just Gears 5.
Yeah,
this is Gears of War again. I thought five had an interesting story. I like that they had kind of moved on. I get that. I guess these are still your biggest franchise characters with Marcus and Dom, but I liked Furiosa. I liked Fury Road more. Like, I rarely does a prequel hit for me, and I'm a little afraid that this also will not hit. I wish there was something else they could tell in the future than going back, and now I get to experience E-Day. I've heard about it a million times. Now I get to play it. Okay, so every new character dies and Dom and Marcus are fine, I guess.
They wanted a game with absolutely no stakes.
I'm a vegetarian. Sign me up. Jeff, you're muted, but you're saying something.
I'm just saying I don't play these games for the story. I'm not playing Gears of War for the story. That's maybe I'm weird, but I think the mechanics of Gears of War are very fun, and I'm not worried about just, I'm excited to go back into this world and play it and make it look pretty, and I'm into it. I don't care. I think it's cool that it's a prequel, but whatever. I'm not worried that I know what happens to these characters. It's like,
well, I think they're banking on a lot of people caring. I think it's a very intentional play to bring back Marcus and Dom.
Well, sure.
It's not a, because if no one cared about the story, it'd be like, here's Deborah and Gary, you know, or whatever. And it's like, who are they? No one.
Deborah and Gary of War. So there you have it. That is 2 hours on the Microsoft. We only have three more conferences to do, guys.
Was as long as their show.
What?
Oh, our show about their show was as long as their show.
Yeah, but I would venture to say ours had more references to
bidets.
To bidets. Thank you. All right. So, if you could take one game home right now, Lana Bashinsky, what game would it be?
I'm not going to say South of Midnight just because I think that's too obvious and I'm too biased. Though that would otherwise be the choice.
Yeah. I mean, South of Midnight is a real contender for me.
I'm very torn between a couple of them. I think I gotta say Dragon Age.
Ooh, I love it. I've
never played a Dragon Age. I thought the trailer was beautiful. I'm gonna immediately go back in it. There's no gameplay. That's the one I would take home gameplay of.
Tuesday.
But maybe the gameplay looks like trash.
Yeah.
And so, oh god, I know you prepped me in advance, and I'm still like sweating buckets trying to think of which one I want to take home. Skip me. Come back.
We're holding you to this because this is the only game you're gonna get to play of these 80 games.
Yeah, oh no. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Christian Spicer, what is the one game that you would take home from the Microsoft presentation?
Easy. One game and one game only, and that one game is that one game is Mixtape Perfect Dark. That is the one game that I would pick is Mixtape Perfect Dark.
Yeah. So those are your two contenders.
The one game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mostly because they both looked incredible and were unexpected in a big way.
Yeah.
And I really want to see how they play and how they feel in the hand. And so I think if I were to pick one, I think it probably would be Mixtape, because that is the one I know the least about. Perfect Dark, I saw and was able to you know, kind of extrapolate out what that gameplay is. But if Mixtape can nail the vibes of that trailer and I'm playing it, I'm probably going to need to buy a new controller, because I will ruin the controller I'm using with my tears. You know, I'll just be like, it'll be like a before your eyes situation all over again, where I'm like, why am I playing this in VR? This was a mistake. And I'm just puddling my VR headset. But that'd be the one. That'd be the one.
Well, since you said Mixtape, I'm going to say Fable. I am so excited for Fable. I love a game. It looks like it is genuinely fun and funny and smart. Those Fable games were always very funny, but also a little goofy. And this feels like the goofiness has kind of been set aside, and it's much more a like smartly written British comedy series. You know, it's like it really does feel sophisticated, and I'm hoping that it delivers on all that stuff. Also, visually stunning, that game, from what they showed. So I am all in on Fable. Although, you know, I could definitely switch it up very happily and have any of the games you guys mentioned. South of Midnight is in there. Expedition 33 is in there for me. Dragon Age, I'm super excited about. You know, Mixtape for sure is a massive contender for me. Perfect Dark looks wild.
If Doom nails the combat flow, I mean, is Doom our show of the game of the show of the game?
I don't think it ever was, but I'm really excited about Avowed. You know, like there's a lot of really, there's just an Indiana Jones. I mean, there's so many bangers in here, so many bangers.
What was the one with the little beast that I forgot? Was that Flintlock? What was that one called?
Yeah, Flintlock.
Yeah, that one looks cool.
The kids call this showcase a no skips.
No skips.
No skips.
No cap.
No skips.
No skips, no cap.
All right. So obviously we've run way long already. We're not going to try to walk through all these games, but let's talk about some of the other stuff. Cause I know Lana, you talked about, well, let's talk about Summer Games Fest. Lot of stuff in here to pick out. We won't step through it. Let's just because there's, you know, dozens and dozens of games. Christian, I know, just like right off the top, I know the fact that Alan Wake 2 is getting DLC, or got today, right? Yesterday came out already.
Yeah, that's my one. That's the one. I have my Oh Dear Diner. I am very happy that I did not like or feel like I needed the Candlestick Collector's Edition that's $200. Because when they announced it, I was like, oh, crap. Sorry, kids, you don't go to college because Dad's buying another Collector's Edition. But I withheld. I have not played the Night Springs Night Stories. I have not played it because, believe it or not, in the midst of this, there's a million great games that just came out that we're not even able to talk about on this show, but I look forward to talking about them very soon. So I will have played it by the time we actually talk about games that we're playing. But I love Alan Wake too. I'm sure I'm going to love this expansion. I love that we saw Jesse Faden in it. It looked incredible. To me, that should have been the end of Summer Game Fest, because that was like a stealth drop. You know, it was like, here's this cool thing, out now or out tomorrow. Go get it. That is definitely my number one. If I had to pick anything else, it would be the rumored leaked Lego Horizon, which looked stunning.
Looks awesome.
And I think I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I think it's the first Lego game, not game made with Lego, but like the Lego Star Wars, Lego Harry Potter, the first Lego IP game where the whole world is made out of Lego. Oftentimes, like in Lego Batman, the actual world you're moving around in isn't Lego. There are Lego bricks in there, but this looked like everything was made out of Lego. It looked beautiful, and I'm really curious what if it's typical Lego Star Wars-esque combat, or if they bring in a little bit of that Horizon, you know, plink the armor off style combat. But just jaw-dropping, the trailer was just they're gonna make me buy the tall neck is what they're gonna do with that.
Yeah,
there's that trailer.
Yeah, that tall neck is a pretty rad model, that the official Lego one, but there's some really cool mocks that you can buy online of that are like
$400.
Anyway,
I hope they have some Lego Tremortusks in there. It'll be so sick.
Tremortus? You don't want to call it a Tremor Tusk?
Bro, I'm
back.
Referencing.
Oh,
thank
call
you.
Back.
That's right. I'm referencing my own embarrassment here.
Tremortusk.
Keep up with me.
Yeah. Is it is water a theme? Anyway,
that's a callback to their other show, you
dinosaurs.
Guys. That's a callback to another show. There, so you gotta stay hip to it. Okay,
Christian. It occurs to me that our little gimmick here, where it's like, if you could take home one thing from this, you actually cheated and you got yours. Yours actually came home. You're Alan Wake 2. If you could take home one thing, and they're like, here, Christian, have it. It's right now. You can have it. You're like, what?
That ruins the fun. Meh. I won't play it.
I'm going to continue to try to guess your guys' favorite things. Because, Lana, I know we already talked about Monster Hunter Wilds, but that was
crossplay! Monster Hunter Wilds crossplay, baby. Woo! I cannot wait. The monsters look great. That little beast you can ride around on looks great. Got my Palico. Ooh, I'm ready. Let's go, baby.
I'll be your Palico. That's how I want to play the game. I want to play the game as your Palico. And it's like,
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Throw you heels. Okay, Jeff.
I got a number of them that are, you want to guess mine?
Yeah, I'm going to guess yours.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it Killer Bean?
Yes.
Sorry.
It's Killer Bean. I've long wanted a Grand Theft Auto game where I play as a bean.
A coffee bean.
I have two. One, you might be like, oh, that probably would be. And the other one, I don't know. So the one I'm going to say is Batman Arkham Shadows. In VR.
Definitely a contender, although they didn't show any gameplay. And I've heard the game is phenomenal. Like, I've been reading stuff about the shadows that they're doing in it and stuff. Like, I can't wait to see actual gameplay. But that would not be my number one. Can you guess my number
one? Well, then the other one I would pick is...
Yes.
Yeah.
Civ 7.
Sorry.
Civilization 7 with, like, Sid Meier, who's standing there like, I still make games.
The cutest little, his little like, thumb gripping.
I'm still doing it, everybody. I'm still doing it. Here I am. Still a genius. Mm. Yeah. I mean, who knows what that game is going to be exactly as far as adding new systems, but I am here for it.
I think you can build an entire civilization out of just SIDs. I think is what you can do. You can just have only Sid Meier's. Oh. And that dominates, of course. Obviously, that conquers every other civilization.
Other stuff you want to pull out of the Summer Games Fest.
Cairn. Very strange, but I have no idea what the inputs would be. They had that one shot that showed the UI of places you died, and it was... some kind of bar where you have to like press in the right spot, like very interesting. I don't know if it will be fun. They made it sound very stressful. The animations themselves look kind of procedural and jank and weird, but I'm find it very curious. Something that I feel obliged to call out. I think it is awesome that Among Inner Sloth is doing Outer Sloth an indie fund to sort of give other indie companies the same kind of, you know, support that they would have loved to have. I think it's fantastic to see companies
paying it forward.
I love that.
I thought that was one of the coolest moments of the entire Summer Games Fest Live, was their genuineness, you know, their kind of just loveliness on stage and giddiness and, hey, we made a lot of money and we feel like we should share the wealth, and it's just beautiful. And then like, they showed five or six games that they're using that are benefiting from that fund, and several of them look incredibly cool and really interesting. I agree with you 100%. And Cairn stood out to me as well. It's really interesting that there's this subgenre of climbing games now.
Yeah.
There's like four or five of them that have come out, and all of the ones I've played so far, I've really enjoyed. Juste, whatever it was called.
Jussant.
Jussant. Oh, I love that game. That game was so good.
The Climb.
I love The Climb in VR. Yeah, The Climb 2. But there was like two other ones that were just like climbing games recently. Anyway, this looks much more realistic. And I do think, based on the kind of jittery animation you were talking about, it feels like maybe you're going to literally control each limb independently.
Yeah, like co-op style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looks really interesting.
I had, I'll wait, because I have two more from Day of the Devs that I was going to call out.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Summer Games Fest. We'll get to that, quickly as well. Mm-hmm. Christian, I noticed that I just said we're going to stick to Summer Games Fest, but I'm going to pull in something else.
Lana, we'll get to that in a bit. I want to get to something else first.
Only because it starts here. There were two different side-scrolling retro brawlers that were announced this weekend, both of them on retro IP, and I thought of you immediately. The one in the Summer Games Fest was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and then the one in, where was it announced? Who knows? PC Games Fest, I think? Yeah, was G.I. Joe! They're doing a G.I. Joe and a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, both, you know, retro look, sort of pixel art, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style beat 'em up, and I'm assuming you're excited.
I am, and also a game I wrote on that is not pixel art, but is hand-drawn brawler, Rah Rah Boom, was playable at IGN Live this weekend, so folks got their hands on with that. So yes, I love brawlers. I love seeing these old IPs mined for them, and I also love new IPs. Again, I'm very biased, but like Rah Rah doing something new in that space. And I love that it's a space that's endured for all these years. Absolutely love it.
There was a number of the subgenre of person and adorable sidekick in a setting that seems a little melancholy.
Like this show?
Yes, indeed.
I'm the melancholy.
And and has a on the nose title. This is a very distinct subgenre. Deer and Boy and Hermit and Dog were both announced this weekend. Deer and Boy and Hermit and Dog were both announced this weekend. I thought both of them looked really cool. anything else you guys want to pull out from the Summer Games Fest Live? A cuff bust looked really weird.
Cuff bust looked like something, I will say, the camera, nauseating. The absolute absurdity of it. I was like, us and Danish got to get together and play this ridiculous, ridiculous looking game. Yeah. It looked so silly. Was like, the camera bouncing as you're running in first person truly sick to my stomach. But it did look very fun.
It looks like built for streamers. It looks built for that crowd. I wanted to shout out, I love the way Blumhouse got into games. Mm-hmm. It had been announced before, but I think it's a really cool, diverse slate in working with developers that have experience or have something interesting to tell and do. It feels cool, and I loved the variety in what they showed. I don't know how many of the games will be great, but I love the swings they were taking across the spectrum of what horror can be.
Mm-hmm. I am very intrigued by Wanderstop. New game from anything that you say was made by the creator of Stanley Parable, I'm going to sit up and take notice. And the fact that they started showing a, you know, Stardew Valley clone, you know, a sort of cozy, I'm like, oh, this does not look interesting. But then it ends with this weird, almost cliffhanger in the trailer of there's something else going on. And I was like, oh, I bet this game is fascinating. The whole idea being you're this kind of badass, you know, uber awesome fighter who's now in Stardew Valley. I'm curious what this game is, because they showed a lot of things that make it look like a Stardew Valley game, like very specific things. I'm like, the game is that, but also has this weird edge to it. I'm very curious about Wanderstop.
The only other game, and this is just how games are announced, and I'm not saying it's a bad game, just not for me, had done a complete 180 on what from animated reveal to what the game was.
I know what you're gonna
Battle
say.
Aces. Yeah. Man, they showed the cartoon of Battle Aces, and I was like, yeah, 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 live for this, live for it. Oh, this is incredible. Oh my gosh, it's anime fighter jets. This is a must. And they come on, they're like, it's an RTS. And I was like, oh, not my type of game.
But it does look like an RTS whose entire purpose seems to be bringing people into the genre that don't play RTSs.
I mean, that's like, I hope it's successful. The ex-StarCraft team. David Kim was like StarCraft lead designer.
They had a bigger section in the PC game show about that game too. And they had, you know, kind of a more deeper dive on what it's going to be. I think it looks really interesting.
I can't wait to watch the Netflix cartoon. It looks so good.
All right, let's talk about Day of the Devs, because, you know, just an incredible tapestry of vibrant, interesting, outside the box, lovely games and people on display. Mm-hmm. And I know, Lana, you had a few that popped out to you from Day of the Devs.
There's two that I jotted down that I, one of them, I don't even know where to begin talking about it. UFO 50.
Yeah.
But the theme of all these things, all these games that were released for a fictional games console, UFO 50, with 50 unique games, fully formed games within the console, very high concept and awesome, and I could just imagine being an excellent time to roll through with a friend, like, oh, let's get together on a Saturday, let's pick one of these 50 games to try out, let's pick out 5 of these 50 games to try out. Interesting. But the one that really struck me is, like, I cannot wait to try this game because the delivery of it was so dry and the humor so built into the game, but also driven by the way that you would explore the game while waiting.
Yes. Like, what? There's no way this game is fun, right? What? Like,
have you ever heard of a game called Tenyawanya Teens?
No.
I think it was Alt Control GDC 1 year. So it had a custom controller that you'd play the game with. Absurd. I can't even begin to describe it because I will do a poor job of it, but it's so fun and so silly. And what are you doing? You're brushing your teeth. You're like in nothing activities, but with a friend while waiting is that same level of absolute silliness delivered with absolute seriousness. Don't get me wrong. You can try through things in the game, but all you do is wait. 400 levels, 400 levels of just waiting. And then if you really want, you can pull out the fidget button and press the button. There's things you can do that's clearly going to make the game very fun and silly, and tasks you could do while you're waiting, but all you're doing is waiting. It looks very charming.
I love at the end, he's like, I just want to reiterate.
That's it.
The only thing you do, it's so, I mean, the art style looks delightful. Mm-hmm. But I love that we've gotten, you know, we've already had this sort of chore core, you know, power washer.
Arranger is another game.
You're a fix it person. All these games that are sort of chore core, like
boxing,
things you would
moving.
Well, no, now that's what I was going to go is that now we've gotten into, it's not chore core. It's not even chores. It's like just things that I would avoid at any cost in life. Unboxing, you know, there's the paper arranger. Now, while waiting, it just feels like, what is the least game thing we can turn into a game? And I just love the conceit of that. It's amazing.
All right. Here's an idea I'm giving away for free. Homework simulator. And what you do is, your teachers can actually plug in their actual homework into it. And then the kids, you don't even know you're doing it. You're like, I'm going to play a homework simulator. And then when you're done, you've done your homework.
There was so much amazing art direction on the Day of the Devs. Like, we're not going to be able to get to all of it. But one of that Phoenix Springs game, that modern point and clip game, it looks unbelievably cool art direction. I thought
Hello Again would be your jams. I thought that was going to be the one you got. It seemed like right up your puzzle alley.
I like the notion of that game, Hello Again. It's a time loop game. Looks very cool. Not my aesthetic necessarily.
Same.
The game from Day of the Devs that I want right now. I know I'm going to love it. It has people that I like who made it. It is called Arranger, a Role Puzzling Adventure. Mm. This is, they had Nick Suttner, friend of the show, Nick Suttner, my friend, great guy. He is part of the creative team that made this game. I could not be more certain I'm going to love this game.
Beautiful
art. This game is, everything is on a grid. And you can move things, you know, in the column or the row. And you know, as you move them, it's aligning things. And you can, like, loop around. If you get your main character to the edge, you loop around. So you use that in ways to get past things. I could not be more certain this game is going to be my absolute jam. I cannot wait to play Arranger, a Role Puzzling Adventure. I'm in the bag for that one. Hmm. But there's a bunch of games that looked really, really cool. I thought that Tides of Tomorrow looked really interesting. The final game that they showed, which is, I'm not really even sure what you're doing, but your friends play it. And based on the decisions your friends make, it changes your game world. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm completely intrigued.
Was the game Deathloop like that at all?
No.
I actually played it because it came at a time where I was playtesting a game that
it's pretty single player. You can play as like what otherwise would be an AI character and infiltrate somebody's world and like kind of hunt and kill them. But it's pretty single player.
Yeah.
Deathloop. This sounds different. I don't know. I
was very curious about this one as well.
It looks really wild. And I don't know, like, if I start on day one, start playing this, my friends haven't made any decisions. I don't even understand how this is all going to work. But I'm into it. Also, and we've talked about this before, but Screenbound just looks so looks audacious really cool. And wild. And when you actually see how the game is played, where you know, this is the game where you're playing on a Game Boy in two dimensions and walking around in the same world at the same time in three dimensions. So there's things you can only see in the two-dimensional world and things you can only see in the three-dimensional world. And so you have to be playing both at the same time. Breaks my brain.
Put this one in VR. Am I right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for showsies.
That's how I played my Game Boy in real life as a kid. So I get it. You know, you're playing the game, but also being aware of what's in real life.
Yeah. anything else you guys want to pull from the PC game show? I mean, there's so many games that we haven't talked about. There's a lot of games in the PC game show that I thought looked really cool. And the future game show I thought looked really cool. That game Shim, where you're jumping from shadow to shadow in this really kind of cool isometric world. Looked incredibly awesome. What else from the
my big takeaway, this isn't a game, and I go, these are just the showcase, these showcases. I it's expensive. It's more expensive place to play, but I think the best place to play right now is PC. Well, sure. I was surprised by the number of PlayStation and PC, Xbox and PC. And we've always known Xbox and PC, but I'm sure there will be more big PlayStation exclusives at some time. Their May showcase was not that.
Yeah.
But it really seems like PC has just kind of become the one console future for a lot of these games and releases. And I think that's pretty cool to see. It's pretty cool.
Did you see that game Unbeatable? Did you guys see that? Where it says it's a rhythm game set in a world where music is illegal and you will commit crimes. So cool. It looks so stylized, like anime. You're this awesome chick who plays music. It looked incredibly awesome.
I got to play some of Parcel Cores at IGN.
Yeah.
It's like that game by itself, your bike messenger, and it has this cool art direction. I think what they showed of it was interesting as well in future game show. And I think, like, if there were a breath, I think that game could really find an audience. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what I kind of look at some of these games. I'm like, yeah, no, that game's cool. Legitimately cool. But I'm drowning.
I'm
drowning.
And that's really the thesis statement. I mean, I'm sure there's
Landon has had a heart attack.
It's getting the crap out of me.
Sorry.
Gotta warn the jingles. Jeff did text me before he played that. Landon,
he's like, watch this.
watch what Lana does when I play this. Duck Detective, the Secret Salami. Come on.
Stormgate got another trailer for another Blizzard RTS.
Yeah. By the way, I said that game was called Hermit and Dog earlier. It's Hermit and Pig. I apologize.
Guys,
to all the dogs and pigs.
Completely different.
Yeah. Eric's Home, The Stolen Dream looked really awesome. Oh, Enter the Chronosphere. Did you guys see that?
I didn't.
It is a turn-based bullet hell game. How do you do that? Answer me how you do that. How do you do turn-based bullet hell? They figured it out. It looks wild. So much, too many, amazing. Thank you, folks, for being with us on this this wild ride through a weekend of too many games and a lot of excitement, a lot of things to look forward to. I mean, I think the end of 2024 looks bright. 2025 looks wild. All the games that are coming out in 2025 and are going to be delayed into 2026. Maybe 2026 is going to be awesome.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto is 2025, right? Like, some of those other games are blinking. There's going to be going.
Grand Theft Auto got pushed into 2026, didn't it?
No, I thought it was still 2025. I think it's like holiday 25.
Oh, yeah, right. But it'll be pushed again.
I'm from the
future, and I'm here to tell you it gets pushed again.
There's because you listened to this podcast, so you knew where you'd be, so you could come back and kill yourself.
That's right.
And there's still Nintendo stuff to come. And
yeah,
I can say with certainty, because I've said it every year, there's a new Nintendo console in 25. Like, It is.
It's too much.
It
guys.
Is head
This
spinning.
Is a wild thing. It's a wild thing, this industry. I hope you guys are having fun. Please let us know games that we didn't get to that stood out to you.
It's dlcfeedback@seaofthieves.com is where you send that email to Jeff.
What game would you pick to be the one you would take home? Let us know that. We love hearing from you. dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you like this show, we would love your support. Patreon.com/DLCpod is where you go to make sure we get to keep making these. We've been going 10 years. We'd like to go 10 more, but it requires your support. You get cool stuff in thanks for that support. And if you get at a certain level, you get Lana every single week on Wednesdays, our paid DLC program. She joins Christian and I. And if you thought this show was loose and weird, tune into that Wednesday show, ladies and gentlemen. We get wacky in the best possible ways. Lana Bashinsky, thank you for joining us on this late Sunday night to talk about all these awesome games. Tell folks where they can keep up with you and all the stuff that you do online.
If you wanted to keep chatting with me, obviously you can hang out with us on Wednesdays, or you can hit me up on social media. There's so many now, but I'm always Latienie. That is Latienie is the best way to keep up with me. Personally, I also do live streaming on behalf of the Riot Animation team on Twitch. That is the Rat Animators, R-A-T Animators on Twitch and Twitter. And that's it. Oh, and I'm also on the book club, DLC book club on Thursdays.
Woo! At
Jeff Cannata's YouTube channel. You can catch me there.
Though not this Thursday.
you can catch me there again starting next week.
That's right. Christian Spicer, what about you? What do you got going on this week?
Thanks, Jeff. The game I've been playing this week is Star Wars Hunters, which is, are we not doing that this week's show?
Nope.
It's a hero shooter.
Now we're going to do the playlist.
I thought we were in the playlist.
So that's the story of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought we were doing I want to talk about Star Wars Hunters. I'm playing on mobile with my backbone, and it's really fun. This show, we started putting out bespoke little shorts or reels, depending on where you consume them, on YouTube and Instagram. On Instagram, we are DLC Hype Train, which is what we also are on Threads. And on YouTube, we are at DLC Pod. We put out usually 2 a week, 1 minute, kind of what are we thinking or quick thoughts about something kind of in between these main shows. So if you want to get updated hot takes, that's where you can find those. And then I write a conversational newsletter about video games that you can subscribe to for free at christianspicer.substack.com. Also, seeofthieves.com.
I wanted to actually... My biggest question from this whole thing is, how do you even make a Harry Potter Quidditch game? Because Quidditch,
I knew you were going to do this.
Quidditch is broken. I was waiting until we went off the air.
This is my one more thing. It's broken. Quidditch is broken. It's not well designed as a game.
This is no shade towards developers of that game because I haven't played it. But if it is the same rules as in the book, it's not going to be fun.
If they figured out how to fix Quidditch without...
I mean, then play it IRL, so it must have been fixed.
No,
they don't. Like, people run around on sticks and play it.
It's fundamentally broken as a just as a rule set.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. The Snitch is worth 150 points. Batting the ball through the hoop is worth 10 points. If to win without finding the Snitch requires you to get 15 more points than the other team. It makes no sense.
The game's bad. Poorly designed.
Well, sometimes the Seekers die, so you have to blunder the ball or whatever it is, okay?
But it doesn't end until the Seeker gets the thing.
That's right. Somebody is getting 150 points.
They play until somebody catches the thing. So if nobody catches it, there's not a time limit as far as I know. It's not like, oh, the game's 3 hours somebody catches the Snitch.
Some of them took months to play.
You play until you die if you don't catch the Snitch, period.
One of the teams will get 150 points. So yeah, if the game is close, it means nothing.
If you're playing for a month, what if it's not close? What if one team's up 1,000 to 10, you know?
Then why?
Then
play.
Exactly. Then that team should win.
Yeah.
If I'm beating you by 15 scores, and then you're like, nah, I got the snitch. Tie game.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I was going to bring it up after this.
How? How do they make that video game and then make it not be terrible? I have no idea.
The matches last, it'll crash your computer before it lets you quit that game if you haven't got the snitch.
They have to nerf the snitch. They have to nerf the switch.
It's
the
gonna,
snitch.
It's going
to
start feeling like you play the Pokemoba where you could get Zapdos and then like you, all of your basket turn-ins are instant and double points. Yeah. That's what it's going to feel like. And the answer? Bad. You care about anything that isn't Zapdos? Get off my team.
The first thing you do when you log into Harry Potter Quidditch Champions is an extended cutscene where they talk about how the Quidditch, the National Quidditch Association, the NQA.
They should have made that the announcement trailer. I would have been more excited to play it.
It's just like a bunch of kids in robes sitting at a table and being like, after further review, the rules of Quidditch suck ass.
It is with great sadness to announce Deborah Quirksicborg, our dear president, has died. We are changing the rules of Quidditch. Now I'd like to introduce the president of FIFA to go over those rules.
Turns out we figured out magic, but we can't figure out basic sports scoring. Anyway.
If a child is not at risk of death, we really don't know what we're doing.
We got time travel somehow.
I like the way you managed to bring up your other major sticking point with the fiction, Jeff.
Yeah. It's real bad.
But you're only allowed to use it to fix homework problems.
Yes.
That is the only time.
Not any of the child deaths that have happened because of the big evil man. But if you'd like to turn in two classes worth of homework at the same time, knock yourself out.
And this is another example of why prequels don't work for me. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm not even going to do my plugs. I'm not even going to do it. That was my plug.
You can find Jeff over at realquidditchrules.com.
Yeah. Ratify the Quidditch rules. I have one major problem with J.K. Rowling. Anyway. All right. On that note.
Welcome to the Wednesday show, everybody. We're still recording.
This is what we do. This is how we do it. We just rolled right into it. It's Wednesday now, isn't it? We've been doing this long enough that it's now Wednesday. Welcome to Paid DLC. Hey.
Boom. There it is. When that beat drops in yet again, you know it's time. We still haven't stopped.
Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.